The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Apparently, there's a guy driving around the Mayfair area of Philadelphia asking women to use a slice of cheese while manually stimulating him.
Is it a slice or a wedge? I couldn't determine from the picture.
It's written as a slice of cheese. I don't know if he's holding a wedge. It might be
It might be a slice because I'm seeing a photograph of the guy. And
it'll be hard to do it with a wedge, right?
Yeah.
A slice you can
It's got holes in it. It's Swiss.
Who got this picture?
Some girl. He let the girl take the picture of him.
Wow. His pants are down. His huge bloated gut is hanging out.
Disgusting.
And they have censored a picture of his private area, but he's holding up a slice of Swiss cheese, and he's asking, hey, and the answer's no if you don't ask. But he's asking if women will use the slice of cheese while manually stimulating.
So he's driving around asking women to do this. Did you see he had an online profile with his picture and everything?
Did he describe as this?
To a woman and basically said, look, it's a fetish and this is what I want.
I have it. Actually, it was from OkCupid. And he said, I started to compare girls to cheese due to their milky complexions. Girls are soft, smooth feeling, and tend to like dairy products more.
You know what? He's got a point.
No, he's a freak.
He's got a point.
Stop it.
He goes on to say
that. Do we have any cheese here?
He goes on to say that and typical advertising, always using a girl to advertise dairy products.
Hmm.
So cheese is what I started to use as a replacement for having sex with girls.
I initially thought he was disgusting, but he makes a good argument.
No, stop.
Here's another photo of him.
He doesn't
holding up
care.
The slice of
What's
cheese.
He driving, by the way?
I don't know. Looks
pretty good.
It's black.
Apparently, he's been seen in two different types of cars. There's one that was like a silver car, and another one was a darker model.
So apparently, pleasuring yourself with dairy products is lucrative.
Marissa, can you call him? See if Victor's up, because I think he tracked this guy down, or somebody who is claiming not to be this guy, or something like that.
So we might. Victor might have talked to him?
No, not
you know, we should send him some cheese.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese. But now you remember we had for a while the guy driving around sucking on a dill pickle.
The pickle guy,
Filleting it. He wasn't just, priming it to eat.
No.
He was sucking on it like it was something else.
Like it was a friend.
And we had video of this. People actually caught this on Philadelphia's highways somewhere a couple of times. This guy sucking on a pickle.
And remember the guy that I saw, the guy was in the yellow neon and everybody saw
pleasuring
him. I mean,
himself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just.
And we had many people calling him about
it. Is there something, is it something about this area that lends itself to.
You know what it is? It's a fun fact about Philadelphia.
Fun fact, yeah.
They like to drive around.
And pleasure themselves with cheese.
With food. But we're getting some calls of people who know who this cheese, not necessarily know who he is, his identity, but are familiar with him.
And perhaps if you can recommend some good cheeses.
I will go to that call in a moment. But Victor's on the line. Let's welcome Victor Fiorello. Yeah. Hey, Vic, how you doing, bud?
Rock.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, man. All right. So, number one, did somebody write in and tell you about the story? Because you broke this.
Yeah, I broke this on Friday. It was actually on the Mayfair Town Watch Facebook page on Thursday. And I got wind of it through a Facebook friend, started looking into it a little bit, and, it seemed like a pretty big story, so I went ahead and broke it on Friday afternoon.
So, Victor, he's been seen most frequently around the Mayfair area?
Yeah, that general area, from what I've been told, I've been getting a lot of anecdotal reports. It's hard to sift through sort of what is actual and, what is just sort of like people jumping in saying, oh, yeah, I saw the Swiss cheese guy.
The story's to you is probably like a piece of cheese. It's hard to get a hold on it.
Hey, and by the way, Victor, I saw the follow-up link you had, and I didn't get a chance to read it, but you had tracked somebody. You actually went to somebody's home that you thought might have been this guy?
I did. So I broke the story on Friday about the guy sort of driving around and police looking for him. After that, I started getting a lot of tips that this guy had been active on dating websites, including OkCupid, and that he was basically propositioning women to do things with cheese.
You got to admit, the cheese and bacon, it always spices up everything.
It's unique.
Yeah.
So I talked to a 20-year-old girl from the Northeast who sent me a message that this guy sent to her. And long story short, We landed on his Facebook page. I was able to do a background check and figure out who he is, at least the guy that sent her the messages, not necessarily the same guy who's driving around.
Okay. All right.
Well, there's pictures of the guy driving around. Does this guy look like that guy?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to my new article, you'll see the photo I took of the guy when he came to his door without a shirt on after I knocked on it.
There he is.
Dude, that looks like him.
I asked point blank if he was the Swiss cheese pervert, and he said no.
Victor, it looks like him. I'm looking at the picture right now.
You know, and we have a pretty high degree of certainty here that this guy at the door sent messages to various women talking about his cheese fetish. So either you have two guys who have a strange Swiss cheese fetish, or this guy who happens to look like the guy in the car is the
guy. Let me ask you, okay, so interacting with people online and explaining that you have a cheese fetish on a if you're on a dating website or whatever, it's creepy, but there's nothing illegal about that. Driving around and with your pants down and propositioning women, that's illegal. Have the police, to the best of your knowledge, approach this guy, and have they validated that it is him yet, or no?
My impression is that I made the first approach to him at his door, especially based on his response to me. He seemed pretty shocked that I was at his front door.
Now, show up without cheese.
Yeah, well, to make him feel more comfortable, did you take your shirt off as well?
I did not, Jen.
Okay. I'm sorry. Provolone. It's all I could.
Yeah. But you should have stopped at the deli.
But, you know, Steve, you bring up a great point. You know, having a cheese fetish, especially as creepy as his is really weird. Yeah. Nothing necessarily wrong with it, but, you know, driving around in the car with his pants off sort of raise the level. And now, I can't confirm this, but I've been told that there is one complainant who went to SVU who is 14 years old.
There you go. That's where you start to get into
that's not a fun fact.
No, that's not a fun fact.
No.
And what kills me, too, is I wonder, this photograph here, is this the one with the star over the genitalia, is that fairly recent? Because this seems like the kind of activity you might want to do in the warmer months.
Really?
It's true. You know, it's a little bit unclear. It came from the Mayfair Town Watch Facebook page, the one with the star over it. But then there's the other one that I posted, which is a clearer picture of him holding up a slice of Swiss cheese. Mm-hmm. And that came from a woman that I spoke with online. I saw her photo on Twitter. She tells me that she was driving a few weeks ago and that he was sort of like in line with her car. So like when they came to a light, you know, they would be in line together next to each other.
Right.
And he would roll down the window and say things to her and hold up the cheese. And finally, either her or one of her friends got a shot of him holding up the cheese.
You know, it's going to happen one time, Victor. He's going to pull up to the light. He's going to hold up the cheese. And the woman in the next car is going to hold up a turkey slice.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a match made in heaven. Yeah.
Wow.
True love.
All right, interesting. Well, we'll link the story, Victor, in your follow-up, too. But I got some calls coming in, so I wanted to go to those. But, never a dull moment, right, man?
Makes you proud, right?
It's Jesus. A weird job.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Victor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, see you. Philadelphia Magazine, Victor Fiorello.
Oh, it's national, too, now, because it's on Gawker and all the other sites.
We have some ladies who've been propositioned by this guy.
Really?
Really?
Yep, let me go to Shauna. Hey, Shauna, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, Shauna. So tell us your story with the cheese guy, please.
So I was on Plenty of Fish about 2 or 3 years ago. It's another dating website.
Mm-hmm.
And he did message me as well. His face is exactly like it is on the magazine. And he just said, you know, he propositioned me. He said he'd pay me. I could use slices or a block. So
slices? Okay, that was the question. Slices or a block of cheese?
He was open to it, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Sean, when you get this message, I mean, do you just call all your friends and go, oh, my God, listen to what I just got?
Exactly. I send it to everyone I know. Yeah, that's exactly what
happened. Did you at any point alert the dairy industry?
Did you respond to him at all, Shauna?
I did not.
Okay.
Good, good move. Why not? let me get inside your mind. And what was it about that? So the one and done, he didn't include a picture or anything, or...?
It was just his profile.
Just
picture,
his okay.
All right.
Yeah, nothing too bad. But I didn't want to get milked or anything. So
yeah, you would have gotten milked.
And how long ago was this, Sean? It was a couple of years.
Yeah, it was about two, probably 2.5 years ago.
No, oh, he's kidding.
Probably eating that cheese by now.
He's still sticking.
Yeah, I was so happy to see that it was on the cover of the newspaper, just to solidify it for me.
Well, you're part of Philadelphia lore now, yeah. So that's it's
all right. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
I think we do fetishes and perversion right.
Let me go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Cindy?
Nothing much.
This guy also got in touch with you.
Yeah, it's the same kind of story that Shauna just said. I was on Plenty of Fish, but this was back in 2011.
Okay.
And I got a message. It was the same picture of, you know, what's going on the news now. It was his profile picture. And I'm pale. I'm blonde. You know, I guess I resemble
You look like cheese.
Yeah.
You're, that's what he says. He the milky aspect of cheese.
I'm
okay.
Very pale, like very fair. And same thing. And he offered to pay me. He said, you know, but he did specifically say Swiss. So I don't know. Some of the holes, you know, I don't know.
Swiss, it depends on what kind of Swiss, because some Swiss is more yellow.
No, it doesn't depend on what kind of Swiss.
Kathy, clearly you've never pleasured yourself with cheese before.
Let the men speak, Kathy.
Yeah. I think we're in guy territory here.
Steve, a baby Swiss, a Lorraine type, will be more of a white
How would it feel?
Soft.
All right.
You know?
All right.
I mean, not like Brie and squishy, but, you know.
Cindy, would you consider yourself like Brie to be squishy, or are you firmer, like perhaps a store-bought hunk of Swiss cheese?
I'm probably more like Brie, actually.
Yeah. All right. You're a prize is what you are.
And,
in fact, you're too good for him, because Brie is much more expensive than Swiss.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you, Cindy.
Also, Brie, don't settle for any guy who just wants Swiss.
Stick Brie in the oven. Gets nice and gooey and warm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, any cheese would adapt.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of Swiss cheese.
Love Swiss.
Do you?
I love the way it feels on my privates.
Yeah. Let me go to Jess next. Was emailed by this guy as well. Hey, Jess, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's happening?
Oh, and I was emailed actually more recently than the last two callers, probably the last month or two.
Okay, tell us about it.
Basically, like I said, he emailed me twice, and I think he's got it down to like a prefab message now.
Okay.
He sends a form, a form email, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was the same email twice that I've gotten from him.
And what site were you on again, Jess?
Plenty of Fish.
Okay, so that's the one
let's go patrol. There,
okay.
Yeah. He did include that he would pay me and that he was into more expensive cheeses.
Oh.
Wow. He's gotten a little cultivated.
Did he name some of the expensive cheeses?
No, he just stated, you know, more expensive.
Do you know what now that I think about this, you know what there's and it's a milky complexion. It is kind of a pale color cheese. There's actually a cheese called Pierre Robert.
Oh.
Did you guys know that?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
What does that pair well with you?
It goes good with female genitalia.
Female genitalia. Yeah.
Hey, Jess, just out of curiosity, what do you look like?
I am pale, like the last caller, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Okay. He's got a type. Yep. Now, I assume, you have a profile picture that he saw.
Yes.
Okay.
Are there large holes in your body?
Unfortunately, no. But maybe that would help me out.
Okay. I was just wondering.
But I did look at the picture of Philly Mag, and it was the same picture that he had. Well, not the same picture, but it was him that his profile picture.
Is his Avi picture the one of him sitting in the car with his pants down?
No, but that would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
All right, thanks,
I wonder if he's had any takers. Obviously, he's throwing it out there,
You have to consider. All right, so this guy is saddled. Obviously, if he's done something, as we heard, or that might be a little bit more, you know, there was an underage, it's horrible. But you have to imagine the amount of work involved with satisfying this particular specific perversion.
Right.
Because cheese does it for him. And you got to imagine he's at home. He's got a database. He's like, for God's sakes, will some woman pleasure me with a piece of cheese?
Every one of these
I mean, am I crazy?
Every one of these ladies has said he's offered to pay. So you know somebody, somewhere, at one
is
point in time.
Do it.
If you've done it enough times, somebody's going to say, yeah, I'll do it.
Somebody's doing their bills and there's, oh my God, I'm missing $500. Cheese guy contacts him. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's a cottage industry, a cottage cheese industry.
Cottage cheese industry.
But it's so weird. Like, I don't know why you would lead with that. You know what I mean? Like
he just wants to get it out there. He doesn't want to play games. This
I don't
is
think
what
he's
wants.
Looking for love, Case.
No, no,
I think
I
he's
know
looking
that.
For, you know what I mean?
But listen, it's tough to catch fish with cheese.
Why is it wrong to actually, entertain really. The notion yeah. of a relationship
yeah.
of your special cheese girl?
Catfish love cheese.
Yeah, no, you're right. I said that, and as soon as I said it, I was like, no, I fish with cheese. Yeah,
I think you need to be a little bit more considerate right. about this perversion.
I'm being serious when I ask this. Do you think a hooker would do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Totally.
No, hookers, they tend to be a little more uppity when it comes to that.
Well, I wasn't sure if they, like, I don't know if even they if even they
Kathy.
Stay away from
cheese.
From
hey,
fetishes.
I'm doing cheese.
Let me go to...
I do sausages and sizzling. I do not do cheese.
Megan has actually seen this guy. Hey, Megan, how you doing?
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Megan. So,
rock and roll.
You saw this guy. Where were you?
I was on the boulevard. I wasn't in Mayfair, but I was on the boulevard, like, on my way home from South Philly.
All right.
And I was at a light. I stopped at a light, and I could, like, feel someone looking at me, like, in the next car.
It is weird how you get that creepy sort of feeling.
Yeah.
Megan, was it during the day?
No, it was at night.
Okay.
So you look over, and what happens?
Yeah, so I looked over, and there's this creepy looking guy, and he's holding a piece of Swiss cheese, like, eye level, and dangling it.
Could you determine whether or not he was pantsless at that point?
I could not see if he had pants on or not.
Okay, so he's holding the cheese, and did he gesture? Did he do the gesture for
jerking?
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about that. He just held up the cheese and, like, moved it so that it was, like, dangling and, like...
Is it possible he was just a wandering cheese salesman?
Well, here's the deal, and so Megan looks over. She sees this guy. He's holding up a slice of cheese. He's kind of swinging it back and forth. I mean, you don't immediately think, ooh, that guy's really, he's looking for some action.
Well,
you
he's
just
not
think,
good looking either, so that doesn't help. But, like, it was the creepiest moment of my life.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
So, I know what you're saying, Preston. His issue might be that he needs to, it's hard to impart that message at a, you need a sign that says,
I don't immediately think sex and
hello.
Cheese.
Yeah. I'm dangling this cheese in the hopes that you will use it to pleasure me manually.
Right.
But you do it to enough people, and maybe at one stoplight.
You know, one person just having that kind of day where they've been told. They went into work, and they were told maybe by their boss, you're too austere. You got to loosen up. You got to take chances. And they're sitting at that intersection, and here comes Cheese Guy. And he's like, you know what? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
You gotta take
Let's
chances.
Do it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of living in a pattern. This chick's busting loose, and it begins right now with a cheese handy.
But you know this guy. You know it.
Is a cheese expert.
That he's been doing it at home with this cheese, like, every day.
Oh, I'll guarantee you something, too.
He's wrapping it around him, and he's having a time.
You want to see him frown? You want to disgust him? Cheese whiz.
Cheese whiz.
Wouldn't even go there.
You can't, I mean.
No.
Well, that is kind of a lubricant, I
guess.
Yeah,
but no. You can hear in the progression from the earlier solicitations.
Yeah.
He's going for better cheese now.
Yeah.
He doesn't like chemical cheese. He likes only the finest ingredients.
Let's get inside this guy's mind for a moment. What's the sexiest cheese?
Oh, come on.
No.
You pervert.
Not Limburger, because it smells.
No, that's too stinky.
If you're going to go.
That reminds you of butt stuff.
If you're going to, but there could be a place for that, too.
Yes.
The most erotic cheese.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think Brie's way up there. I think Swiss might be a little leathery.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you slice it, though, it would hold together nicely.
I agree with Casey. In the Brie territory, in the cheddar, No. Monterey Jack would burn.
Yeah, and like a, Parmesan and stuff like that. Forget about that. Like
it's hard to keep it
Reggiano,
on.
Reggiano, it's too hard.
You guys are missing an obvious one.
What?
Romano cheese.
Romano! Yeah. Oh, my God! True.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Romano cheese.
Come on.
Think about that for a moment. Let me go to a couple more
Do
calls.
We have any cheese that we could try?
Stop it. Who's going
to
try
it?
Let me go to Adam. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's happening, Adam? We're talking about the dude that likes to pleasure himself with cheese, or he wants other ladies to pleasure him with cheese. Do you have a personal encounter?
Well, my girlfriend does. She was up on the boulevard in Northeast, and I guess we weren't even surprised by it because it's Northeast Philly, so we've seen plenty of things like that before.
Sure.
Really didn't surprise us.
Interesting.
But he held up a sign and was asking if he would allow my girlfriend to put Swiss cheese on his penis.
So there was a sign. He held up a sign.
Yeah, it was done with marker and everything. It was very professional.
Well, I think at this point you should. You don't do a marker. You do a professional.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you really,
go to fast signs
if you want to
like
show that you're serious, you get a real deal sign.
Something made. All
girls right, like to know that you took some time.
By the way, I think the sexiest cheese
back on this.
That I've ever had was, it's called Shropshire Blue.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And it's actually, it's blue cheese that is actually yellow in color.
Oh, yeah.
With the blue veins running through it.
Yeah. Ooh, just nice. Like...
And you're
genitals.
Supposed to take a small slice of it and lay it on your tongue and let it melt there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, really?
It's hot, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to...
That sounds good. What's the name of that?
Shropshire Blue.
Can I have some Shropshire Blue, please?
It's English.
It's English.
Yeah. It's really good.
I give you some of that Romano cheese. Baby got back.
Take me out of this.
Hold on, wait. Let me go to Joe here, and then we got to move along in a second. Hey, Joe, how you doing, man?
Hey, Gadzooks.
Joe, you saw the cheese guy?
Yeah, but I saw him when he was holding up bologna.
Bologna?
He was holding up bologna?
Yeah, I was a truck driver in the city for years, and this guy followed me. This was back when was still in business.
That place has been out of business for years.
Yeah.
The what?
This guy, he was hanging baloney, this guy, and he pulled behind the truck. He pulled back where the trucks were, and it was like two or three other truck drivers, and I jumped out of the truck, and of course he took off. Yeah. But he wasn't wearing pants, neither.
Joe, he's got a full baloney, or he's got
a slice?
Slice of baloney.
Slice of bologna.
This dude's all about slices, man.
Yeah, he is.
Well, he's got... you can't slice a deli meat or cheese in a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
He already had it, and he was wiggling it over top of his thing. I mean,
He was wiggling over the top of his thing.
Joe, did you see a picture of him? Is it the same guy?
Yeah, but he used to pull up alongside the truck drivers because you could see down into the vehicle.
Yeah, you guys see
and
everything,
One of those vehicles had a sunroof in it. Yeah. That's what he had open.
Wow. Joe, you caught him in his... It's like catching the Beatles at the Cavern Club.
Right.
You ain't lying, brothers, but I'll tell you,
you
what.
You caught him in his early years.
Yes, and I wish we could have stomped the crap out of him.
All right, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. It's like seeing the Beatles at the Cavern Club. Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh.
In his formative years.
All right. Well, anyhow.
Wow.
Well, this is, it's funny. I mean, obviously the whole cheese thing and the whole, idea, but obviously driving around and taking your pants off and trying to solicit people, that is not funny. And this guy could face some pretty serious charges, I would imagine.
You know what? This makes the pickle guy look legit.
Yeah, you're right.
At least his pants was just
sucking on it and his pants were on. So,
yeah.
Anyhow. All righty. Well, thanks for sharing, folks. I didn't know we get that many people who had a direct contact with this guy, but apparently
calls keep coming in.
He's made the rounds, yeah.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You want to hear my personal announcement?
Yeah. You tipped it slightly to me. You gave me just the tip a little earlier. Bit. Yes. I think it's important.
Yeah, it's this has weighed heavy on me for a long time. And I think that it is time to go ahead and reveal this information today because I
it's going to mean a lot to various show members.
It happened last night and I felt that I should share this morning. Last night, ladies and gentlemen, I did indeed watch The Departed. So it happened last night. I had some time, and finally, how many years have you been telling me to watch this movie, Casey?
It's been at least 2 years.
Longer.
It's been a lot longer than
that. When did the movie come out?
It came out about 8 years ago, 7 years ago.
No, not that long. Really?
I think it's 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, about 7 years.
So anyhow, you've been telling me over and over and over
2006.
To watch this movie, and I kept telling you I will when I have some time. That's a long ass movie, dude.
It is.
It's 2.5 hours.
What time
long.
Did you start watching it?
A little bit after 7 o'clock. So I didn't get done because I had to pause it a couple times to get up and get something to eat and whatever.
Oh, and I called
you. You called while I was watching
it. Oh man,
I didn't say anything to you about it. I didn't want to, but I got done watching it about 9:45
and
last night. It's a good movie.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a good movie.
And I told you ahead of time that you were going
to go see it, go see it.
You were going to think that it was good and that not great. I think the movie The Departed is based on, the original, is great.
Well, here's the deal. Casey has told me that he loved this movie, and I guess that's where it started, and I should watch it. Okay, well, I took it. And then it would come up every now and then. Have you watched it yet? Have you watched it yet? No, I haven't. I haven't seen it yet. Blah, blah, blah. He keeps telling me how great it is. Won the Oscar for Best Picture, I guess?
No, it did not.
Director? Best Director.
Best Director. So I watched it last night. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I didn't, and that's all I can
say. Well, we built it up too much.
Yes,
no, not that.
I don't think so. Casey, I think it was a great movie. Are you a little disappointed that he just said, yeah, it was good?
No, I feel like I built it up too much.
I didn't hate it, but I thought it was good. I love Jack Nicholson, so watching Jack in pretty much anything is awesome.
Mark Wahlberg was pretty awesome in the movie as
Mark Wahlberg's
well.
Character was stupid, though. I you know what? That's the one thing that I thought was dumb about the whole movie. How can somebody be that pissed off all the time and still keep a job? That was just... Now, listen, I know I'm not dumb. I know it's a movie, and you gotta let characters breathe, and some of them are a caricature of something else, but I thought... He was good at what he was doing, but I thought they overplayed that pissed off cop.
Well,
character.
He has that one
it was
line.
Too
in,
much.
That one line in the movie that I just love. You know, who are you?
Jack selling for less.
No, he says, I'm the guy doing his job. You must be the other guy.
Yeah,
that's a good line.
Yeah, and it didn't do much for me.
What about Alec Baldwin? Did you like his character?
Yeah,
Leonardo DiCaprio.
About Martin Sheen? Yeah, did you like good. The way he left the roof of the building?
He
had a cool way of getting out of a building without using the elevator.
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Or the stairs.
Yeah. You know who I liked was Mr. French, whoever that actor was.
What's that actor's name? God damn it.
I have no idea. I haven't seen him in anything else.
Oh, God. Do a search.
Nothing I know.
Oh, but he feels so good.
Do you remember who he was, Casey, Mr. French?
I don't know the character or the actor's name.
But do you remember
that
character?
Oh, yeah.
He's the strong arm. He's the muscle for
Do you know who I found to be, honestly, a revelation which sort of said it? Leonardo DiCaprio did a great job in that movie. I think he was he played against type.
But the one thing I thought was stupid about the whole movie is the psychiatrist, the doctor, that whole relationship.
The girl, like,
this doesn't make any sense. She's hot, though.
Yeah, she is.
I like her, and I liked her in Up in the Air. But I was like, this doesn't happen. This is what
I think the original movie is called. I think it's called Infernal Affairs. And check that out. It's shorter, too.
I don't know.
It's not 2.5 hours.
Like Casey, I'm over old movies. I don't go back and watch them anymore. So,
how old is Infernal Affairs?
Maybe 10 years.
Oh,
really?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, it's not that old?
No.
Is it a European movie or something?
It's a Hong Kong. It's an Asian movie.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
It's dubbed.
Yeah, I won't watch it.
This did win Best
Thank you, though.
Best Picture. The Departed won Best Picture and Best Achievement in Directing for 2007.
Oh. Okay. I saw The Departed.
So I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it, and I watched it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No problem.
So anyhow, there you go. It's been done, and I'll tell you what I think of The Gray when I eventually get around to be watching. I would like to watch a movie every night this week because I haven't watched movies in a while. The TV is pretty much owned by my kids at this point, so I'll see if I can...
watch daddy films. Watch adult films.
Squeeze some other... Oh, well, I've been squeezing those in, too.
Yeah.
Let me see. Do you guys know that Mexico, according to the United Nations report, is now the fattest nation?
Mexico?
Yeah.
Mexico.
Yeah,
really? Sure. With all those... corn products and tortillas?
I know, it's hard to believe,
they're
right?
Putting on weight?
The report claims low income and rampant consumption are the main causes for the stat.
That's what happens when, you know, when the economy's bad, people go and... That's why, you know... When,
you
like,
eat your troubles away.
Well, right. And they're basically saying that they're eating fast food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a stat that diabetes and cardiovascular illness are on the rise as a result of Mexicans... sedentary lifestyles. The research shows that 70% of Mexican adults are considered overweight and 32% are obese.
Really? You think they'd burn off the weight running from drug cartels?
Yeah. And I believe that the United States used to be number one.
Yeah, yeah. We're probably still a contender.
We're number two.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But we try harder.
32.8% and we are 31.8%. But the funniest part of
they have more Mexicans.
Pathetic part is, no, but remember when we were number one, Philadelphia was the fattest city as well. So not only were we the fattest city,
yeah,
we were the fattest city in the fattest country in the
on
world.
On earth.
Amazing.
Whoa. What an honor. Do you like, I love Mexican food. Oh, and
yeah.
I used to despise it.
Yeah, I love Mexican
I despised
food.
It.
They're kind of trendy now. Like these, it's not fast food, but like now you have like Qdoba. At first it was like Baja Fresh and then Moe's and now like Qdoba and Chipotle.
It's fast food.
Yeah.
You see, Taco Bell has that Mexican. I don't even know if she's real or like a creation, that Mexican chef. The woman?
Taco Bell?
You haven't seen these commercials?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, she's like a...
Is she? I assume she's real.
I thought she was... Well, I don't watch the Food Network, but I thought she was somebody from there or
okay.
Something. Yeah,
there's a good fast food restaurant, Steve, you might know out in California, El Pollo Loco.
Oh, yes, of course.
Love that place.
See. See, I knew, yes. Yeah, very good.
But my sister used to live in L.A., and we would always go by there.
They just opened
it. I love Taco Bell. I mean, Taco Bell was what I initially... I was a big burger dude, didn't like... And now I love Taco Bell. I love full-blown Mexican restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They're great,
yeah.
But I don't eat it a lot because you got to watch, it's a lot of cheese.
Yeah, cilantro gives my wife diarrhea.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
Huh. Isn't that great?
Do you ever slip it into her food?
Yeah, I should.
Mm.
No, but
oh, my God.
Anytime we order food, she has to ask if there's cilantro in it. For some reason, she has a reaction to it. I think it's somewhat psychosomatic.
Oh, you know, when you
I
get
think
it,
she's crazy.
No.
But,
yeah. Preston, hold on to that. When you get into a fight.
You're right.
But I
to
love.
Start shoving cilantro in her
yeah,
food.
Honey, I'll clean out the garage.
Well, while you're thinking about all this eating and putting on weight, I did see this as well. Prenuptial agreements. Are being signed for things like weight, sex, and TV time now.
My God.
I knew this would start to be...
Really?
You'd start to bargain, because it was starting about a year and a half, 2 years ago, they made mention of this, where they, in the prenup, as opposed to just monetary concerns, you want to make sure that the person you marry will always stay within a certain weight.
Yeah, New York...
It's almost like signing an athletic contract.
New York attorney Anne Margaret Corozza... told More Magazine about some of the prenup she's negotiated. Weight said, spouse can't gain more than 25 pounds unless within 12 months of giving birth or because of a medical condition.
Could you, honestly, if you put that restriction and that constraint on a relationship, is that the relationship for you?
What the hell are the vows all about? That?
Yeah.
You know?
And then
it's
here
sickness
you go.
Or fat.
Sex. Spouse will have sex 2 to 4 times per week. Putting sex into a prenuptial agreement.
That's kind of smart.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. I mean, honestly.
Can you do it 4 times in one day and take care of it for the week?
Yes. If it's 2 to 4
sure.
times per week, then technically you can knock it all out in one day.
I mean, you'll be really chafed, but you'll have the week open up.
Sure,
for
right? Concerning your mother-in-law, spouses.
You have to have sex with your mother-in-law.
You have to have sex 2 to 4 times
a week. I'm here, sweetie.
No, it says the spouse's mother can't join them on any vacation for more than one night.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
You'd be down with that?
Yeah.
Oh, you get along with your in-laws.
Yeah.
You get over there, you take your shirt off, you're good to go.
I don't want them on vacation with me.
Yeah, but then when, all right, that time comes up where mother-in-law wants to come away with you guys for a couple of days, mm-hmm. and you have to tell her that, no, I'm sorry, we
Mom,
agreed.
It's part
it's
of the prenup.
Prenup.
Yeah, I guess so.
My wife always protests when my mother wants to come with us on a trip.
That would be really awkward.
Awkward and gruesome.
How about this one for prenuptial agreements? Television. Wife allowed to watch only 2 reality TV shows per week, and husband can watch no more than 2 televised sports events per month.
Now,
per month.
Let me ask you something. Are they having takers on this?
These are some of the prenups that she has negotiated.
Mm-hmm. They're to me that do not get married. If they're putting that kind of constraint on the relationship ahead of time, that's BS.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And she also did one concerning pets. Wife can't adopt more cats or replace hers when they die.
we'd be so effed to be ridiculous. Got 7 cats and a dog.
Yeah, that's one relationship. That's one.
No.
These are multiple
prenups that she is negotiating.
Well, if you were to pick something in your prenup, what would you say besides monetary? If you were to get as frivolous and self-centered as these seem to indicate, or what would you ask for?
Time to play golf.
Time to play golf.
Yeah.
Does she give you a hard time when you play golf?
No, but I would like to hey, the contract.
Yeah.
Remember, I get golf this week.
Right.
No, I mean, it's something that takes a chunk of time.
You only get to do it when there is...
When there's a window for it, and you need to make sure that everything's cool and we don't have any prior engagements and things like that, so...
And you have to go to Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, anything, Steve?
You know, Claire is really good with, I mean.
But if you had to pick something.
More threesomes.
Okay.
Or a threesome.
One threesome. One would be
during
more.
The entire marriage.
Just one.
One threesome.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it could be another dude. I don't care.
I was just going to say with another guy.
So I could have the threesome. I don't have to explain that part.
Just you could say, right?
Right, Larry, let's get this going.
We had a threesome.
Yeah.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
With Larry?
Just one. No, not with Larry. Who's Larry?
Even if it's another.
Right here.
From upstairs. He has a big hairdo.
Oh. Oh, I thought you meant Pulowski.
Yeah.
Larry from Three's Company.
Larry's from Three's Company.
Larry Dallas.
Upstairs. Big hair. All right. I don't know. Would you guys add anything?
Well, I'm.
But think about it.
I mean, I honestly, my wife is just. As with you and everybody. All you guys.
Yes,
compliant.
No, we're spitballing here.
I pretty much
fun with it.
I get to do whatever I want anyway. So, yeah, I would have to go with the one threesome at some point.
The one thing, the threesome, right?
Yeah, not in our 60s either. You know?
No.
Do it while we all
can the third
good.
Party be in her 60s?
Yeah, no.
No.
No?
But you're such an oldster.
I thought women look hot until 80.
Yeah, you like that formaldehyde smell.
Yeah, but not in my threesome, you know?
Okay.
Wait, if you live in the fantasy and you're going to pick somebody to have a threesome with, it's going to be somebody who's not in their 60s.
Yeah.
Right. In their 80s.
Shirley MacLaine.
Like, okay, Shirley, by the way, she looked really good as a nun in Cannonball Run 2. I just watched that
the other day. Yeah, that was made 58 years ago.
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah.
She
won an Oscar for that.
I did have a friend, now that I'm thinking about this, I had a friend who married this gal, great, they had a really great relationship. Within a 2-year span, he started to become happy with the way she was looking. She was putting on weight. And it was a real concern to him, and he had a hard time.
He became happy. You said he became happy with the way she was looking, putting on weight, or
no.
Okay,
he was concerned she was putting on too much weight.
Oh, okay.
And so, how do you then tell your significant other that they have a weight problem and I don't like this? And
I think you call up your lawyer,
and you need to do something about it. You know,
honey.
You know, he ended up doing it.
He did?
Yeah.
And how'd that go?
How did that
They're
go?
Divorced.
Rough.
So well. It went well.
It went well.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
I think you encourage your partner to go exercise with you. You know, you say, let's go to the gym together. And like, you
come on, fatty.
There's only so much subtlety that can be delivered. Yeah.
You know what you do?
But at some point.
Put pound cake on a string and put it at the end of a treadmill.
But at some
point. Run faster.
Right?
But at some point, you have to say, listen, I have to be serious that I do not like this, and I need you to do something about it. And if you're talking to someone who normally doesn't exercise or has no interest in dieting, that's a real touchy subject, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy to do.
You are beautiful to me 2 years ago. You are beautiful to me 2 years ago.
Not now.
No, but I think that's right, Nick says. Let's get on a health regimen. Let's, you know. But listen, it's a very touchy thing. And usually the person who's put on weight knows it.
They're exactly.
aware of it. And you're not, you know, this isn't a revelation to them. And hopefully they, I mean, I think what you got to do is give it a wide berth and hopefully let them come around to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. If it's starting to impact their health, you have a leg to stand on and say, listen, I want you to be around with me.
Yeah.
You know.
You can't say you don't look good.
And could you leave some food for the rest of Earth?
But, you know, I think a guy can handle hearing, look, you're getting fat.
I don't know. You need to do something about it.
Yeah. But a woman, I don't think.
Definitely not.
No, definitely not, right?
No. Because, and no. Exactly, and like I've said this for years. They, like you just said, Steve, they know. Yeah. I have a friend who tells her sister when she's gaining weight. Now, granted, it's two girls, so I guess maybe that's a little bit better. But still, I'm like, you don't, they're completely different. One is has a great body. The other one doesn't. And I'm like, you don't need to tell her that. She knows. Yeah. She knows already. She knows what she weighs.
So it, and it's probably something that they're struggling with. You know, so unless if you want to do something, hey, we're going to join a kayaking club or whatever, or right. maybe, you know, something a little more fun. That might be the way to go about it. But I think you're just playing with dynamite.
I do know a married couple where the wife said, you know, if the weight comes on, I want you to say something.
Okay.
But again, Kathy, no. Why? You know.
Wait, what's it? Remember, you had this conversation with Dennis. What? Do you remember?
No.
Or was it you, Nick? I forget. Dennis had a good line basically about the weight gain and was like, yeah, we'll get divorced.
But no, Dennis took it upon himself to lose his own weight, you know, and he started a strict regimen and lost a lot of weight on his own. Casey, you're in the process of losing a lot of weight. And why? Because you're paying attention to what you eat and you're being diligent about it. And it's really commendable.
And my wife said I was a fat ass.
Yeah, but your wife can encourage
you. Did she say
no,
that?
No, I'm just kidding. No, she did not say
but,
that.
But your wife is wonderfully supportive and a kind person and wants you to lose weight because she wants you to look better and feel better about yourself. But there's only so much she can do for you. You know, you right. got to do it on your own. And you're doing it on your own.
Here's a couple of texts that are coming in. One says, what happened to unconditional love? And then the next one says, getting fat after marriage is not acceptable.
Oh, my God.
What's it's your name, Fat Bob?
It's just a fact of life, you know? Go out
you
to the...
You take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah.
You take them both.
And then you have... Facts of life.
What's your name, fat body?
But just go to any t-ball game or, you know, soccer game and you see it. It's just, you know, it's not everybody, but it just happens.
When we went to Disney, I saw the collection of fat people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, granted, it was intermixed with people who are in decent shape, but there are so many overweight people walking and riding fat scooters. You know what I mean? Not because they have a physical.
Because
they're too fat.
It's
to
too
walk
taxing
around.
To walk around, and that's a sad. That's a sad thing.
I know.
But Steve,
go ahead.
No. You're right. As far as like the health aspect being a healthier, you know, approach to saying something to your spouse.
Right, right.
If you feel the need to say something, you know, and like, so my kids are asking me, why am I eating veggie burgers and salad for dinner? And I say that, and it doesn't mean anything
right.
to them, but I tell my daughters, I'm like, so I can walk you down the aisle. That's what I say, you know, and it's the
truth.
So
you can be around, yes. Yeah. Daddy wants to be around for a long time, or at least marry you off when you're 13.
Let me go to...
We're moving to the Ozarks, by the way.
Hang on, let me go to Finn. That's your name?
Finn, yes.
Okay, what's happening, Finn?
My ex-boyfriend had a creative way of telling me that I was getting fat. He told me I was becoming a larger person.
Wow, okay. And how did you take to that?
Well, he's dead, so...
Wow.
You win.
Yeah.
I won that one. I'm a larger person, but I'm alive, so...
And Finn, so were you indeed gaining in size?
Oh, definitely. I was gaining in size. He was becoming an alcoholic, and I was depressed, so yeah, I ate my problems away.
Did you say to him, you're becoming a drunker person?
In fact, those were my exact words.
Okay.
Wow. How did he die, Finn?
Alcoholism.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
It's ironic because, yeah, I did kind of win that one out.
Yeah.
Did you ever overcome your weight problem?
I'm still working on it, but I did lose a bunch.
Do you know what really helps? Yeah. Drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helped him so much because he didn't weigh anything. That's so. Right.
Well, good for you. I don't know how to commend you for that, but yeah, there you go. You win.
Interesting.
There's a more delicate way to tell someone.
All right, thank you, Finn. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let me go to Jared. Hey, Jared, how you doing?
Hi.
What's up, Jared?
About 2 years ago, right before my wife and I got married, she basically said, "If I'm starting to put on weight or anything like that, you can be honest with me." So I started being honest with her, saying, I mean, being delicate about it, I wasn't going to be like, you know, you're really gaining some weight there, fatty.
Yeah.
But I basically said, you know, you're putting on a little bit. What do you want to do? And she goes, well, what else do you like? I said, well, I kind of like bigger boobs. So ever since that point, I've noticed that I've been gaining about 30, 35 pounds since our marriage. And she's actually started to lose that. So I think that was her way of getting back at me, of giving me more food and giving.
Okay, so she fattened you up while losing weight.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. So
and are her boobs bigger now?
Well, not yet, but they're getting there.
They're getting there. She's working on it. All right, thanks.
I was wondering what that had to do with the story.
Yeah.
Anytime you can bring up big boobs, it works.
Yeah, might as well. I don't know. I just thought it was, if they're putting that into a prenuptial agreement, is it really that hard to bring it up to your significant other? And actually, it's harder than you think it might be.
You're putting that into a legal document. I mean, isn't that sort of offensive? And isn't that what you're supposed to be able to work on as a couple outside of the law?
But maybe you, as someone who's about to sign it, sees it as something that will motivate you. You know what I mean? That, hey, if I do start to let myself go, this might keep me in check.
I understand that, yeah. I just think you're playing devil's advocate, but I'd say your love for the person should be able to talk to them.
Yeah, whatever, man. That's what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Crazy world.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We have television and film royalty in our studio this morning.
Absolutely.
This gentleman helped bring you some of the great TV series that you've come to know and love. The Odd Couple, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, some great movies. You remember Young Doctors in Love?
I love Young Doctors
in Love. I love that movie. That was great. The Flamingo Kid, Murphy Brown, Beaches, Pretty Woman, Runaway Bride, The Princess Diaries. It goes on and on and on. Please welcome the one and only Mr. Gary Marshall.
Yeah!
To the
great. Chipping in $10 to make it $100.
How are you, Gary?
Very happy to be here.
Wonderful to have you here this morning. You've done so much great stuff, so many great television shows and movies. It's awesome to meet you. We saw the Happy Days reunion that was last
which
year.
Which was fantastic,
You were nice enough not to mention me and the Chimp, another one of my shows.
Me and the Chimp.
But we mentioned the hits. It's not.
Me and the Chimp, that was Ted Bessel? Was that
yes,
the actor's name?
And
I remember.
Very bad Chimp. Wouldn't behave, wouldn't do the lines. So,
my God.
You know what? As your work on television, you know, is fantastic, but I love when I see you pop up in movies like Lost in America. And,
I have an acting career. I was a chicken this year, Chicken Little. There's a high. So, try it all.
Sure. Well, the thing that impressed me, I have to get it right out of the way here, in Keeping Up with the Steins, we pretty much see Gary Marshall frontal nudity.
Well, not so much frontal butt, but you did enough butt material morning. So
we see your ass,
No, well, it was my son's movie. I'm very proud. My son Scott directed Keeping Up with the Steins, and I had a part in it. And when the director says you got to do a skinny dipping scene, your first word is, with whom? And it came out Daryl Hannah. So I said,
there
well,
you go.
No,
well,
no problem there at all. Me and her.
So yeah, well, did you have to work up to it? Did you have to a couple of drinks to do it? Because I mean, you're pretty in the buff.
No, my son was a little uncomfortable. He didn't call me Dad or Gary. He called me by my character name, Irwin. He said, Irwin, you want to move over here and you want to jump in now? No, it wasn't bad, you know. I was not his first choice for this part. I was the 10th. He went to Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks, Marty Lynn. None of them wanted to jump in the water naked. What the heck? I played a chicken this year. Why not be naked? You got to have a range in this field or else, you know, you lose.
Well, the movie I saw, it's hilarious. It reminded me of a lot of your work. He directed and wrote it as well?
No, he didn't write it.
Okay.
Mark Zacharin.
Oh, okay. But it's got a very sort of, to me, it had sort of a Flamingo Kid feel to it. It's sort of there's a good heart at the center of it.
Yeah.
But it's basically the families trying to outdo each other for a bar mitzvah.
In the bar mitzvah world, but it's for anybody grown up. It's the being 13 and your parents are driving you crazy story. And I think a great guy, Jeremy Piven, who's a big hit, plays a different kind of role in this. Very funny, though.
And Jamie Gertz in it as well.
Yes, Doris Roberts, my friend, I did a series with called Angie. You hear the
Angie? Yes.
Oh, yeah, somebody knew Angie.
The girl from Saturday Night Fever was in it, yeah.
Well,
Donna Pascal.
Donna Pascal.
There we go.
It's Angie! Trivia time.
And that took place in Philly, did it not?
Yes.
That's right.
Which is the city we're currently in, yes!
Oh, my God! Yeah, I like the way we get it around in Philly.
Very, very funny, very, very heartwarming. And you play kind of a character you would not figure you to play. You're playing sort of a hippie-ish, Jewish, older Jewish hippie guy.
Yes, and I'm a very young Italian guy, as you can see. No, it was, I have a grandfather, I have four grandchildren, two of my son Scott's, and they're in the movie. But it was a different character, but I thought it was funny. And as I said, he ran out of choices, and there I was. So you show up for your kid, yeah.
Well, you know, and in the movie, they like when they're trying to outdo each other, there's some pretty spectacular things that the family, the lengths the families go to make the bar mitzvah special.
The Titanic bar mitzvah is definitely one that will go down in
and
history.
DJ Quick singing Jewish. How many times do you see that, folks? But the music to me is fascinating. John Debney did the score of this movie, which is kind of a bar mitzvah movie. He also did the score of Mel Gibson's Christ movie. So
really?
The man has a range.
A range. Wow. That is a departure.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to fight the urge because, you know, you obviously have all these chops and director's chops as well to put your two cents in while a scene is being filmed?
Yeah, you want to say something, but I really wanted this to be his. And I was editing Princess Diaries 2 while I was acting, so I really didn't have time to stand around and get in his way.
Especially since you're naked, yeah.
Very happy. Yes, I said, can I put my clothes on, please? And I went, I'm not naked the whole picture.
I know.
The reason
That was a sobering sight for me.
You clearly see Gary Marshall's complete bare ass in the movie.
I had not anticipated that as a life experience.
Yeah, we don't zoom in or anything. It's a quick cut. Bidding badang, you know, and it's for funny. It's a funny
it is very funny.
But I took the job because I get to, I love basketball. The Lakers, hoo-ha. And then I made a shot. There was no cut. I shot it,
you.
And the ball went in.
So really?
There was no cut.
Neil Diamond is also in the picture. Is he a friend of yours? Or
no, he's actually a friend of my son.
Okay.
My son had a band for many years called Chavez. And
okay.
He knows most of the musicians, and now he's directing. He's my sister Penny and I both direct, but we still say, well, something around his head and his chest. We say things like that. He knows how to. He went to directing school. He graduated from Northwestern, so he knows how to say the 75mm lens and everything, which is very intimidating.
It's an up-close lens,
yes.
Is it not? Yeah.
You mentioned your sister, and one of my favorite movies is A League of Their Own, which is hers, and the scene where you're walking around with Tom Hanks on the grounds of that, wherever that beautiful grounds are, and you're yelling at the in-laws and at your own parents, was that inspired by your own parents or something from your own past?
Well, inspired by Penny saying, yell a little louder, Gary, but I was trying so hard. We had Madonna, we had Gina Davis, we had gorgeous girls that I'm, you know, flirting around. And I hear my sister say on the walkie, you got to shoot my brother early. His bridge slips about 5 o'clock. Ruined my whole flirtation with Madonna. It was over.
Oh, thanks, sis. You're hilarious in Lost in America when you're the casino owner who's trying to explain to Albert Brooks why it's not policy to give money back once it's been lost. Yeah. Did you speak with any casino guys to kind of get a beat on that? Because you seemed simultaneously hilarious and threatening at the same time.
Well, Albert, like he wanted, he said, I need somebody nobody knows.
Right.
This was in 1985, and I had done some gangster roles. You'll never hear, playing the French lieutenant, Gary Marshall. But this boy part, and Albert, I was doing Flamingo Kid. He brought me in and said, come on, we'll do this. And we ad-libbed some of it, but it was written by Monica Johnson and Albert. And it was did it so long ago, and people still talk about
it. It's hilarious. I know this is a hack question, but I have to ask, of all that you do, what is directing your favorite? I mean, you know, because you're controlling everything at that point. Is that where you find your greatest artistic release? And showing your ass.
Yeah, well, ass is part of it. No, I watching sports is my favorite.
Okay.
Allen Iverson, he's great. Yeah. But I think writing. I'm basically a writer.
More graduated
about the writer. From journalism school, and I write. It's the hardest thing, filling blank paper. But, you know, they never say, let's hire Gary. He'll make a helicopter shot. I don't go up. I right. stay down.
Right.
But they'll say, hire Gary. He'll fix the script. He'll fix the scene. And so that's my basic.
Did you ever do stand-up? Did you ever do stand-up?
For a while in New York, I did. I was not very good on it. But I didn't have the... I was big in the Army.
You're big in the Army?
People trapped with guns. Very scared. I'm a riot. There. I was 2 years in Korea. Comic of the year. But in America, no.
And you said you were influenced by the father on Laverne and Shirley, the comic. I forget his name.
Phil Foster.
Phil Foster. Great. Yeah. In fact, your delivery is very similar to his.
Yeah. I wrote for all the comics. That's why I was in Vegas a lot. Joey Bishop, Phil Foster. Phil Foster was like my mentor. He had an accent and he loved sports, so we got along.
And you got to work with Eddie Mecca.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Eddie Mecca, yes. Singing.
The Big Ragu?
The Big Ragu. You know all the shows.
Yeah, we know all the stuff. Nice. Yeah, we're psychos for you.
That's good. Well, we don't do too much TV. I don't know how to do reality shows. I may do one.
What do you think of that trend?
Well, I think it's, you know, there was a great Gleason sketch where he was going to be, you know, in the honeymoon is he was going to be on TV.
Right.
And he froze. Hanging. And it was said that some people should not be on TV because they have no talent. We have changed that trend.
Yeah.
I said, let's bring everybody on. No matter their talent. Let's see who we can make fun of. And it's a trend that's working. It lightens up their life. So why not?
With Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, were you were the director of those shows? Or what was your role?
I created Happy Days. And then I got tired. So the other shows I created with other people. But I was the showrunner, they call it. I was executive.
Did you create the original short that was on Love American Style that started the whole thing off?
Yes, we did it. We wrote a show.
Love and the Happy Days.
Love and the Happy Days. Right. It was called New Family in Town originally, and they said, who needs this? The 50s are boring. And then out came Grease, and out came American Graffiti, and TV, as usual, said, we have that someplace. Let's be derivative. And it went on. And,
let's be derivative.
Yes, that's what you got to know to be an executive.
Man, and how long did Happy Days end up running? How long was the...
Well, I didn't think it would last at all. It ran 11 years.
Wow.
That's longer than most marriages.
Well, think of the talent you fostered. I mean, you know, that's just, I mean, you're obviously the kind of guy who's good with, you know, instilling creativity in the people you work with. Ron Howard, did you ever see that coming?
He said, I don't want to be rich. You know, I don't direct. No, but a lot of directors came out of Happy Days. Henry Winkler, Ron Howard, Scott Baio's directing, Anson Williams directing. My sister Penny came out of that group.
Ponzi.
Yes, he's the one that didn't work. Yeah. No, he does. He directs TV, does he not?
Yeah,
does he really?
He does Movie of the Week. He's a very good director.
I did not know that. You mock Ponzi?
I always mock Ponzi.
I started with Anson Williams, then I went to Laverne and Shirley with Cindy Williams. I went to Mork with Robin Williams. Now I'm working, oddly enough, with Paul Williams. We're doing the Happy Days musical for Broadway. We're in the process.
Really?
Yes, at the Falcon Theater in Burbank.
Very cool.
And Paul Williams is in this?
He's
writing the music.
Okay.
He's not going to make a good Fonz.
No, I wouldn't think so.
A little smaller, than but a good writer.
All right, Gary, we know you got to get going, but...
I don't like to leave here. It's nice. Just... They know my work.
And we can set you up with a tattoo if you're interested this morning, too.
I don't have any tattoos. We did a scene once on the Dick Van Dyke Show I used to write, Proctologist's Office, and everybody was standing, reading the magazine, and the network, they cut it. They said, you can't do it.
Oh, wait, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, this was in the 60s.
Right. Well, now we fulfilled your legacy today on the show.
Yeah,
we delivered on what you started.
Thank you.
Well, the movie is called Keeping Up with the Steins, and it's directed by Gary's son, Scott Marshall. And there's a lot of great talent in it. As you said, Jeremy Piven is in it. There's Daryl Hannah.
Funny Larry Miller, who's funny.
Miller's great.
Awesome.
And who plays Jerry Piven's wife in the
Jamie
movie?
Gertz.
Jamie Gertz.
As well, so there's some great people in the movie, and we'll look for that. Gary, thanks so much for coming in.
Sexy and funny movie. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we have got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment.
This summer. The MM Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Our guest just arrived.
Hey!
Good morning.
His show is going to be on Fox, and it is called Gang Related. This is RZA.
Yeah! Yeah!
How you doing?
I'm doing good this morning. Philadelphia, man. What a city. What a city.
Yeah. Have you been to Philly before?
Yeah, I've been here a few times, coming through back with the Wu-Tang Clan. We used to rock up and down these streets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I'm here promoting the new TV show, and just love this city.
The show looks really, really aggressive. It's a unit investigating or dealing with multiple gang families, I guess. And one of the investigators, undercover guys, has a bit of an association with one of them. And you're one of the good guys, correct?
Yeah, I think I'm one of the good guys.
One of the good guys.
Well, we have a gang called the Los Angelicos, and our lead actor, Ramon Rodriguez, he plays Ryan Lopez, who grew up in this gang, and they sent him to the Army to learn tactics.
Right.
But he was so good that when he came home, he's recruited by the police.
So he has to deal with that constant, who his loyalty is with.
Two families. And not to throw out any spoilers, but he has a partner who, you know, his right-hand man, his best friend, who gets killed. And when that happens, he now joins another team with new partners, and they're getting to know him. And he's being torn between, I guess, that love of your old family and your new family. And he also wants to kind of get revenge for the fallen officer. So it's a lot of drama going on.
I like
on.
That dynamic, and you have a good cast. You have Terry Quinn, who
Terry's
is
so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Just anchors any show that he's on. And let me ask you to get up to speed, because it seems like you guys are like on location. And I mean, did you do any work with actual units that deal with gang violence and things of that nature?
Oh, yes. We are all playing members of a gang task force. And so the gang task force is more aggressive than the SWAT team.
Really?
So they brought in real SWAT people to teach us, you know, the tactics. I mean, I've been shooting all kind of guns, guys.
That's awesome.
They take you up to the mountains in California. And I just want to say something. You know, I grew up kind of on the wrong side of the law as a young man in New York. And I just want to say to my fellow ex-criminals, they got some guns you do not want to mess with. I prefer you really kind of slow it. Yo, I'm serious. Right. They had this one gun that could hit you from a mile away.
Yeah.
And not miss.
Wow. Yeah.
I shot a gun, right? That I put a bottle about 200 feet away.
Yeah.
And no practice, just shot the bottle because it has the new video game scope on it.
I've heard of this where they actually use, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they use basically almost like the same targeting they would use on a fighter jet.
Yes.
And so you can't miss.
A six-year-old could hit with this one. So I just want to just warn all the, because you know, you grew up in the hood, you get your AK-47, you think you got something. Right. Nah, man.
Yeah.
They got Star Wars, guys.
You're putting the word out. That's always one of the things that looks so cool. I mean, obviously acting's very hard, and you write and direct as well, and there's a lot of work involved, but that thing of getting to go out and just, you know, tear it up while you're doing this stuff, it's got to be a blast.
Yeah, it is fun in a sense of, you know, you grew up as an artist and you try to find different ways to express yourself. Fox, you know, really took a strong chance on a show like this. A show like this would usually end up on a cable network or even in the movies, because we got Chris Morgan from the Fast and Furious as our writer.
Yeah.
Scott Rosenblum. And they, you know, usually write in major motion picture screenplays. But Fox took a chance to air this show on TV for free.
Yeah,
so
you
don't need no cable subscription. You know what I mean? You didn't got to pay your $10. Just sit down on your couch and enjoy the show.
Well, they
us.
Know they have to compete, because more and more directors are saying this. The real dramas, the best stuff coming out of Hollywood now is now TV. It used to be movies.
Right.
But if you really want the really immersive really, you know, bare knuckle stuff. It's coming from television.
Yeah, and usually you'll find that on a cable network because they get a chance to have more freedom. But I think that as our generation is growing, we're a lot of our barriers are kind of coming down. And,
right.
And it's good to see that Fox is taking a chance like this. And also, we have a very diverse cast here. We got Sun Kang from the Fast and Furious franchise, Ramon Imbala V, Cliff Curtis, Jay Hernandez, Emilio, Terry O'Quinn, who plays our captain, Sam Chappell.
Now, Cliff Curtis is the main connection to the lead detective was conflicted, correct?
Yeah, he plays the leader of the Lost in Holocaust.
Right. And I've seen him in movies. He was in one of the Die Hard films. He's a really commanding actor.
Yeah.
Has a lot of presence.
One of my favorite roles that Cliff did was in a movie called Training Day when he had Ethan Hawke in the bathroom. Yeah. He's about to kill him. He's like...
In the bathtub.
Yeah,
that's a great scene. Get her on the phone.
Get her on the phone.
Awesome.
Yeah, Cliff killed that scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know who we had in here not too long ago. It was a comedian of some sort, but he was just talking about the different accents coming out of New York. And you got that Brooklyn accent, man.
That's where you're born, right?
Yeah, I'm born in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there you
Brooklyn,
go.
Brooklyn. And listen, but I think some of my accent is also Philadelphia in the sense of one of the first movies I ever saw was Rocky.
Yeah.
And what a strong accent Sylvester Stallone had in that one. You know what I mean? Adrian!
Yeah. I'm from New York as well, and I notice an extreme similarity between a lot of the Philadelphia, quote-unquote, accent and New York accent. There's a lot of crossover.
I agree.
Hey, Steve and I were talking before you came by, RZA, about your love for martial arts films and the history of martial arts films and so forth.
Yes.
Is that something you still like to go back and visit and watch some of the old movies?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I got lucky recently, and this is just speaking up as a fan and not paid to say this, but there's a new station called El Rey.
I love it.
That shows martial art movies on Saturdays, buddy.
And
that's where I'm at on Saturdays.
Yeah. and they grab good ones.
They got good ones.
They grab good ones. And they also have the Dust Till Dawn series. Rodriguez series, which I love.
Yeah,
it's good choice.
So when we grew up as kids, we get Kung Fu theaters on Saturday mornings, and now you can't even you got to go to the video store don't have the movies no more.
Yeah.
And so one day I'm flipping through the tube, and they had a triple feature Street Fighter, Sonny Chiba, Street Fighter, Street Fighter's Revenge, and Sister Street Fighter. And I sat there all day, my wife, who she's not into these movies, but she had to sit there all day and be 6 hours of martial art movies.
Well, you wrote, directed Man with the Iron Fist. That had to be, that had to be for you, such a fan, a dream come true, because I saw it. It is such a complete homage to those films.
Yeah, it was definitely a blessing for Quentin Tarantino. Eli Roth, two good buddies, came and helped bring this vision to the silver screen. We had Russell Crowe and Lucy Liu come on board with us. The coolest thing about that movie for me, though, was there's an actor named Gordon Liu who played Master Killer, 36 Chambers, and all these classic movies. And I grew up just admiring this guy. And when I got to China, I had a meeting with him, and I put him inside my movie. And, that's a real kind of like a magic boy dream. When you think about dreams, we think that, people say, oh, don't be a dreamer.
Yeah.
No. Dreams can't come true. I'm living proof of that.
Have you done any martial arts training yourself over the years?
Well, you're not supposed to talk about the kung fu there, brother. You're supposed to.
You get that death punch.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like, hey, I don't talk. but I'll say one thing. There's a famous style of martial art that's called Hung Ga. Uh-huh. And that goes back to the Shaolin Temple.
That's a kung fu variation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's mostly tiger, crane style, or the five animals.
Sure.
And so for the movie, they sent me a Hung Ga expert who trained me and got me in shape for the movie.
Cool.
So some of the moves that I do, which is very few moves, but my final punch is a Hung Ga punch, and my stances was all Hung Ga.
I have to ask because that was your first directorial effort. To pick them, those movies are traditionally incredibly difficult to shoot. I mean, tons of edits, tons of wire work, all that going on. Why did you pick that as your first?
Well, a lot of people ask me that question. Well, I'm a man who loves a challenge. Here goes something real challenging for you, Steve. I was in China shooting this movie, 150 days, a crew of 400 people. and only 20 of us spoke English.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So it was a lot of pointing, you know what I mean?
That's not even a language you could kind of figure out.
No. No.
Well, right. Well, the cool thing about film is that people do have a synergy of what to do, like, you know, like how we all understand our work at radio. Right. So at least it was a shorthand of, you know, communication.
You were able to convey it to them, yeah.
You mentioned Russell Crowe in that movie. Did you meet him doing American Gangster?
Yes, I did.
That's an underrated, awesome, fantastic movie. He's so good in it. Denzel's obviously incredible. Did you? I can't even imagine that you wouldn't, but you like doing that movie with those guys?
That movie was really great. That was Ridley Scott, one of the best directors alive, in all reality. If you ever meet this man, you see the kind of vision he has with cameras.
And his visual sense is just unbelievable.
This guy used 12 cameras at the same time and know what each one is doing.
Wow.
I don't know how he does that. I call that multi-vision. But that was a great film to work on, and one that really helped elevate me. I played a cop in American Gangster, and when it came time for Gang-Related, it was really the character I played in American Gangster, I think, that led to the director, Alan Hughes, who directed Book of Eli and a few other films.
Love that movie.
He, you know, said, I think out of all the rappers, you have this thing that could go both ways, you know,
right.
Be street, be cool, and yet still be a law enforcement.
Okay.
And it was American Gangster that gave him that idea of me, and he gave me the part inside of Gang-Related.
That's awesome.
So also, obviously, Brick Mansions is out right now. Paul Walker's last film.
Yeah.
It's a remake of I saw the original and enjoyed it very much. Luc Besson.
Yeah, Luc Besson, B-13.
Right. He is talk about action. He's one of the
one
dudes.
Of the best, yeah.
What was it like working with that? Any memories of Paul that you care to share?
I echo this all throughout, you know, the campaign, that Paul was a great dude, man.
Yeah.
Real, real focused. I got him to eat some vegetarian food. How about that?
That's a big deal.
We have different lunches in each other's trailer, and I'm a vegetarian. But one day I was like, nah, just come in with this. And we sat there and we ate a whole meal of vegetarian stuff that, I know how to pick some good vegetarian food.
You know, someone who's been for a good long time can point in the right direction.
Exactly.
It's the new vegetarian you don't listen to.
Yeah, guys get too much mushrooms. You guys got a store here. You guys got a store here in Philly. And I hate this, you know, as soon as I got off the train, I told my driver, not the hotel, take me to Godiva.
Okay.
And they made me a vegetarian Philly cheesesteak.
Oh.
Listen, and I had my Fox rep with me who never had this before, so I got her one, and she enjoyed it and said it was just as good as
a meat sandwich. Yeah. I've had vegetarian chili where you'd swear so people know how to do it can do it right. You swear there's meat in it.
Our resident vegetarian is Marissa, so if you're, I don't know how long you're in town for, but if you know that place or if you need to find another place, this young girl over here is the girl you want to talk to.
You ever go to Veg? That's the one that
Dr.
Mike gave us? Yeah, it's called Veg. It's in Center City. Okay. I don't know how long you're in town, but I went there a couple weeks ago. Casey, it's fantastic.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm coming for lunch.
If you're just tuning in, it's RZA who's here with us, and Gang Related is the new show that he's promoting. You know, the early 90s, we really saw an influx of films that spotlighted some of the trials and tribulations of gang life, and I'm talking about like Colors and Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society and stuff like that. I think we've gotten a little bit away from that.
Yeah,
does this go back into that world?
It does go back into that world, and even at a deeper level, because when you watch those movies, it's mostly focused on the black gangs and Latin gangs.
Yeah.
But our show actually go into the Russian gangs. We go into the Koreans.
And there aren't we hear this, and then we've had a number of police experts and people who deal with this stuff. The Russian gangs are brutal.
Oh man. There's an episode of this show where we actually go into the psyche of the Russian mob, and
yeah.
And you know, I don't want to throw out too many spoilers, but it is so brutal.
Yeah.
And with the way the women are being treated, because sometimes these particular gangs may focus on trafficking people,
human trafficking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the movie Taken, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do an episode about it that's actually tear jerking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tear jerking. And my character, who kind of I had just got back from a bad experience in Russia.
Right.
So I really was playing it extra hard on the Russia. I came in the scene and I kicked the guy in the chest and he falls down, right?
Yeah.
And they go, cut, cut.
Bobby, this guy is not a stuntman. You can't. I was like,
you're cranked up.
I was cranked up.
Is it hard when you're first learning, speaking about that, and you're acting and you're throwing punches and stuff like that, and you're, you know, I'm sure you're a physical guy yourself, obviously, you just said you were. How many times do you end up clocking a stuntman?
Listen, they started calling me Rambo.
Rambo.
No, they was, yeah. There was a few jokes going on about me, and I had to calm it down. You know, when you're in the moment, you know what I mean? And, you know, some of my acting skill comes from watching, not going to the schools and things. So, in a way, I learned to emulate. And because of that emulation, I'm coming in like the movies I saw.
Right. This is how you do it.
Yeah, but you got to kind of ease it back a little bit.
That's cool. Rizza, in reading the description of your character, and sometimes they get these things right and sometimes they get them wrong, it says Rizza plays Cassius, a longtime gang task force member who's a good cop but a bad singer.
Are they
portraying you as a bad singer in this character?
There's a funny scene. I guess, you know, there's a stereotype that all black people can sing. You know what I mean? I break the stereotype.
You break the stereotype. That's fine. That's fine.
We actually, some of the topics in the show are serious, like, you know, and we are going to deep locations in California. We didn't just, you know, stay on the set.
So you're locational.
We went to locations and we went deep into, you know, Long Beach, Compton, these areas, and we really pulled it out. But, we are breaking a lot of stereotypes and we also being very fun. I mean, there's some deep subject matter, but we don't, you know, we take time to, you know, to not take ourselves so seriously. For instance, Ramon, who the Spanish guys, according to stereotype, all know how to fix cars.
Of course, yeah.
No. My partner can't fix a car. So we play off this. Of these stereotypes being broken throughout the show.
That's cool. When you're out shooting on location, if you're in Compton or you're in different areas, you get recognized. You have to get recognized, yeah?
Oh, yeah. For me, it's really cool, though, because I do get recognized, but it's also very inspirational.
Yeah.
A lot of us, you know, and I don't want to get too political, but a lot of us, we end up trapped in these neighborhoods, trapped in a crime system. And to see one of us out of it, you know, such as myself, you know, I'm a high school dropout, and I kind of could have went the wrong way, but I found through my artistic expression, I found my path. And I think when the other brothers see that, gangbangers and other guys in the streets, they realize that there's some kind of optimism. There's That's a cool. chance that somebody could get out if they could find that focus. So I kind of represent that, and I hold that weight on my shoulder.
Can That's I ask great.
You
Well,
you should be very proud of that. I mean, absolutely. Even if it's a handful of people that can get their life together by using it as a personal example, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a real good thing.
I want to ask you about that. Around what age did you start to feel trapped? Do you know what I mean? Like what is?
I'm a bad case.
Yeah.
When I mean, I'm a case, you know, New York, Brooklyn, where my cousins was taking me to a liquor store at the age of 9.
Yeah.
9?
Man, listen. Yeah. And I had some Puerto Rican friends that was already very nasty. You know what I mean? Girls, you know, I mean, it was very, you know, it was overkill of indulgence in my day.
Listen, my daughter is going to be 9 this year.
I couldn't
imagine it, no.
Nah, seriously. I mean, we had joint. In those days, they had color paper for joints.
Right.
I had a red joint, a blue joint. This is at 10. People was passing this to us. So, but that comes from your father not being in the house. You know, your mother having too many children to pay attention to everybody. And at the same time, you in a decrepit situation. So what I strive to do, you know, through my music and through my artistic expression is kind of put a warning out there. Let people know that, you know, youth is something that should be enjoyed because it's the shortest part of your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So don't rush. You know, I have a 8-year-old as well, and I have a 16-year-old. And I always tell my older son, don't rush into nothing. Don't worry about, you know, even girls, don't rush into that. You're going to have your whole life to do this. This is just a short part of your life. Enjoy it.
It's nothing as, and it's these guys. I don't have kids, but these guys do. And I say to them, when you look at them and they're a clean slate, and you hope only the best for them, and you almost want to try to keep the world out, right. You know. And then, like in your case, it came in like a tidal wave. Yeah, but you managed to, and you're projecting the lesson. You can turn it around.
Yeah,
Something happened to me, and I'll share it with you guys, Preston and Steve, that I got into a serious situation to where my life was about to be taken, and 8 years of prison was I was facing. And it was a self-defense situation. And I was lucky enough to win that trial. And it was that day, maybe 21 years old, my mother looked me in my eye and said, listen, you'll be given a second chance.
Yeah.
Go positive. Do not turn back. And from that day forward, I went positive. I formed the Wu-Tang production 4 or 5 months later.
Just 4 months later?
Yeah, I went back to a lawyer I had met back when I was 18. I went back to an older man who had a small record company inside of his house, and I just asked him for advice. I got a book by Donald Passman called All You Need to Know About the Music Business.
Wow.
And I formed my company, and I went and told, you know, Method Man, Raekwon, and Ghost to come, you know, join me, who was also engaged in street life. I was like, listen, I think I know a path out of this. And if we focus and go positive, we can't lose. And I was, you know, reading the Bible, you know, just going hard, and it worked. Yeah.
Creative visualization. And I say this, sometimes to people it seems like gobbledygook. It seems like, oh, that's just a bunch of crap. No. See it. And make it
happen. Thank your mom, RZA.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You got to remember to do that, because that's, you know, you listened.
I listened. And a lot of us don't listen to our moms.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's a big mistake.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, look at you now, man. You're doing great. And the show is called Gang Related. It's got a great cast.
Looks badass.
Absolutely. So we wish you the best. And,
Thank you. And
we'll keep an eye out for everything else you're doing, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Steve. Thanks.
Hey, let's hear it for RZA, guys. Yeah! All right. Make sure you watch it.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do, MMR rocks. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
So a high school is apologizing following an inappropriate math question about a girl being sexually assaulted by a family member.
Oh, that was here, our area.
It was. A math teacher, a math question on a homework assignment given to students at Penridge High School.
Sure.
Asks, Angelou was sexually abused by her mother's blank at age 8, which shaped her career choices and motivation for writing. Well, after doing the math, the answers were boyfriend, brother, or father. And a number of parents complained to the Penridge School District about the question. The district said that the assignment was, quote, downloaded from a website that allows teachers around the world to share educational resources.
So there was no vetting of said question.
I guess somebody forgot to actually read
through them.
The
like
questions.
They just, yeah, that's so apparently they can just get these questions and answers, and clearly somebody didn't go through.
Yeah, at least take a look at them.
The district said that it's not part of our approved curriculum. The district apologized for the question and said that they have taken steps to make sure that it never happens again.
Two Hummers times three Hummers equals
5 Hummers. A really good night.
I mean, look, even that, but something about being sexually abused, like, that's ridiculous.
No. Yeah, it
that's,
is.
That's more insane. For gym class.
A city man has been arrested in connection with an assault of an Uber passenger last month. This is a local story as well.
Yes, we're just batting 1,000 today.
Joseph Fusco was severely beaten December 22nd when he tried to catch a ride from Philly to his home in Cherry Hill. He says he used the ride-sharing app and was picked up by an Uber driver who, upon learning where he wanted to go, refused to take him to New Jersey. After asking a second time for the driver to take him to Cherry Hill, Fusco says that the driver pulled him from the car and beat him.
Okay.
And beat him bad, man.
Yes, we're looking at the pictures. He got his ass kicked.
Police arrested Major Craig Fuller and charged him with aggravated assault, simple assault, and recklessly endangering another person. Fusco is suing Uber, by the way. The assailant broke multiple bones in Fusco's face and knocked out his teeth as well. The driver in this alleged incident apparently did not know Fusco's destination until he got in the car. I always thought that they knew your destination ahead of time.
Isn't that part of the deal? Yeah.
Well, according to Uber, passengers enter trip information, including destination, into the app, but the driver doesn't actually receive the destination information until the trip begins.
Okay.
I was not aware of that, if that is the case.
Why is that? Is that to stop drivers from favoring destinations they like?
I guess so.
Maybe. I'm not really sure.
Hey, if you're taking an Uber across the bridge, who's responsible for bridge toll?
That's a good question.
I don't think the person, because they've already paid through their app. It's not like,
yeah,
unless it would be added afterwards.
Or do you just run it?
Maybe just run it. Let's see. You know what? I actually have a toll story that I could dive right into from that. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. A driver went to great lengths to avoid paying a $1.25 toll in Orlando, Florida, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Before going through the E-Pass toll booth on Wednesday, Joshua Concepcion West allegedly used a remote control to drop down a black screen that covered his license plate.
We saw this thing. It's actually really well built.
Pretty ingenious, yeah. West did not realize a state trooper in a marked car was right behind him when he deployed the screen. The trooper immediately pulled him over and arrested him after they passed through the toll booth. During the arrest, the trooper discovered that West had an unusual license plate holder. The holder had a black screen that comes down and conceals the license plate when it is triggered by a remote. When it's triggered a second time, the screen comes back up and exposes the plate again. West was arrested on charges of petty theft, a misdemeanor, and cheating or gross fraud, which is a felony. The petty theft was for stealing from the state by not paying the toll, but the felony charge was for concealing his tag.
I wonder, though, with those plate covers that are purposely foggy to obscure the plate information, those have to be illegal as well, correct?
I do not know, Steve.
No, I think those are so people can't clip your registration sticker off.
Is that right?
Nah.
I don't know.
By the way, Nick pulled up on Uber's website that the charges are automatically added to your trip fare. So if you're going to cross a bridge, the app knows it, and it's added into what you're paying.
That's right, so because you have to enter the address you're going to, so they'll know ahead of time.
Yep, that's part of your fee. Okay. Many of us humans are sick of the modern-day obsession with taking selfies, and it seems like our jungle relations are, too. An orangutan slapped a tourist in the face when he tried to take a selfie with him rather than handing over a snack. The video, which
That's
was...
not going to cut it.
The video, which was filmed in Indonesia...
You think you can take a picture of me? Not so.
Shows a group of young men feeding the orangutan while on a boat on the Sekenoya River.
I judge my large orange ass out at you in defiance.
The tourist saw the orangutan hanging from a tree and began feeding him food, which he took greedily.
Thank you very much.
But the encounter turns nasty when one of the men turns his back to take a selfie, prompting the ape to hit him. The man who filmed the video had said, in the Boreno jungle on the Sekenoya River, when we noticed a wild orangutan hanging from a tree, he joined us for a boat, slapped my friend across the face.
In the face! In the face!
So they got a nice video out of it.
Those things are strong, too.
Yeah, they are. One last story. An Oregon man who decided to clean out his office during a recent snow day was in for the surprise of his life when he discovered an unclaimed $1 million lottery ticket that he had purchased nearly a year prior.
Wow. No. Wow.
According to the Oregon Lottery, Jamel Paniza found the Mega Millions ticket in the nick of time as the deadline to claim his winnings was only 8 days away. Paniza told lottery officials that he had purchased the ticket January 13, 2016 for the January 15, 2016 drawing, but had put it in an envelope and forgotten about it. He finally claimed his prize January 9th, just ahead of the January 17th expiration date. And they will not take it. If you're one day late...
No, that's it. They give you a friggin' year.
Yep, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get it's for $39.99, and what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love?
If so, Steven makes it easy, hand-picking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I got this bizarre email, and I wanted to share this. This says, and I made sure I circled it and highlighted it. It says, please don't read my name on air. We all know my track record with that.
So who sent this?
It is from, no. It says, hey, you guys rock. I've been a longtime loyal listener to your podcast. Funny thing happened to me last night. I was outside kissing my boyfriend goodbye as he went to work. He got into his truck and shut the door. He leaned over to the passenger side, and I thought that it would be cute if I whipped out my boobs and put them on the window on his truck. Well, I did this, and I tapped on the window without looking. So he just hears her on the window. He hit the window down button. And in went my nipple.
No! Oh.
And part of my boob into the door. So her boobs are smashed against the window, rolls it down. They go down into whatever that little weather strip is there.
Sure.
And it sucked her boob down into it. She said it took me a few seconds. It took him a few seconds to realize why I was screaming. The window got about halfway down before he was able to stop and put it back up.
Wow.
The pain was excruciating. I thought for sure that my nipple was ripped off.
Oh, my gosh.
After a few minutes of pain, I was able to look at my poor boob. My nipple was bleeding, and it was already bruised and had marks from being pulled into the door. What does my boyfriend do? Falls out of the truck laughing his ass off.
You got to admit, it is pretty bizarre.
She said, I'm sure you're wondering. I am a size 40D. And yes, it still got caught. And 18 hours later, as I'm sitting here listening to your podcast and I'm icing my boob, I'm wondering if this has ever happened to anyone else before. Thanks for reading, guys. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say categorically that's probably very unlikely that your nipple gets sucked down into a door.
No. I mean, like, I've gotten things caught in the zipper, but nothing like that.
I got my head caught in the when I was a kid. When they first came out with the electric windows, I was sticking my head out, waving to grandmas, we're going away. And my dad hits the back window.
Hey, didn't know your head was out there?
Yeah, I've had my hand out the window and the on the passenger side, and the driver will put the window up unbeknownst to me and not knowing that my hand is out the window. Fortunately, my boobs were nowhere near the window.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they don't have cars now that will...
With boob holders.
No, if your hand is out there or your head, Steve, in your case, that it, you know, it'll hit it and then go back down, almost like a garage door or an elevator door.
Minivan, like the side doors, they have that now.
They have that? Okay.
Yeah, it's like a person.
But she's right. The window, there should be a manual override, because if you're doing it and you're raising it with the button, if it hits something that resists it, it should disengage.
Are boobs prone to injury? Yep. Does this happen, Kathy? Are you aware of? You get caught in a door or,
Do you have scars all over your boobs?
No. I mean, no? Not necessarily. Not me. I mean, there are... your balls. if you get hit in a certain way, for me anyway, it can be pretty painful.
Okay.
And same thing when we talked about sleeping. Like sometimes I'll have to shift a little bit or move because it's a little uncomfortable.
Balls. Boobs is there
like
anything
balls.
Where you can you catch your boobs in a zipper?
Well, you know what? I guess you could, but I always
could
wear
you do it for us?
I always wear a bra, so. I guess there's sort of like a little padding there.
Nick, I have to override you for a moment. Marissa's hanging her hand as if she has had a boob injury before.
It happened recently. I've told you guys in the past I don't wear clothes when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago, I don't know if I had a bad dream or what, but so I'm in bed, and I must have just whacked my hand across my chest or something, but I scratched my nipple.
Ooh.
It was literally bleeding. I woke up out of a dead sleep, and my hand, I don't know if I was answering the phone or what, but I just scratched it. And it was, I had like...
Did it hurt?
Unbelievably.
Really?
Scratch your nipple? Yeah.
Ow.
It's a very soft, sensitive area. Sensitive area that doesn't
soft,
get scratched.
Soft, delicate, sensitive area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Hang on. I'm getting some calls. Let me go to an anonymous caller on line one. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Am I on?
You are.
Okay, because you are anonymous. I didn't know if there was anyone else.
No, you are the anonymous.
What's happening?
Okay. Once I was working as a secretary, and I was sitting behind the desk, and I had the little skinny drawer, you know, where you put your chair under, that little tiny drawer.
Right.
Opened, and I had to lean forward to get something, and I didn't close that drawer before I did. And back then, I was a 36 triple D.
Jesus.
I leaned forward and closed the drawer on my nipple and was screaming. I happened to work for a truck driving company, and I was so grateful that the guys weren't in there because they would have totally enjoyed every minute of it.
I'm sure they would have been completely supportive and said, don't worry, we won't tell anyone else.
So I was afraid to pull it open because I thought it would also hurt on the way out. And it did. I did release myself, but my nipple remained hard for about 2 or 3 days.
Was your nipple in a cast?
it probably should have been.
You said you were. You used to be 36 triple D. You had a reduction, obviously. What did you go down to?
I did. A 36C.
Okay.
That's a nice size breast.
I looked at my husband's hands and right before I was there. He's like, nah, full C. So that's what we did.
Oh, cool. So yeah, he had his hands on you while it was taking place. Yeah, that's good. Let's stop there.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. Let's go to Tammy. Hi, Tammy. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Tam?
Oh, well, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm hysterically laughing because I got my boob caught, not in the window, but a revolving door.
Oh, a revolving door.
A revolving door.
At the airport or a hotel?
I was in New York City, and I'm a country bumpkin, and I wasn't really paying attention and was trying to step kind of sideways. Yeah, and the guy behind me wasn't really watching either.
Well, that could be actually a substantial injury. Those are big, heavy doors. Did you get bruised up?
Black and blue.
It was black and blue. So this wasn't just your nipple getting trapped. This is like the whole breast.
Yeah.
Ow. Now, are you such a country bumpkin that you were going into this place naked? Because it would seem weird that you would get one whole boob.
They're 40C. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Ouch.
Man, that's got to hurt. Kathy, you've likened it, too. You said, no, we don't know. We can't know for sure if it's similar, but you would assume it's akin to getting kicked in the nuts.
I don't know what it's like to get kicked in the nuts, but I would imagine yours is a little bit more painful.
All right. Yeah, well, we can tape some prosthetic ones on.
It doesn't feel good, that's for sure.
I'm going to go to Karen next. Hey, Karen, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Karen, 38 double D.
Nice. You know what? Let's require that one time to call in. It's like name, rank, and serial number.
I'm an alcoholic.
All right, Karen, what do you want to share with us?
Cleaning up after a party one time, folding up the metal folding chairs. One got stuck, pulled it up against my body, and my whole nipple got stuck as I folded the chair.
Wow. Oh, my God. You were topless?
Ow.
Yeah, hurt bad. Bruised nipple trauma. Again, my nipple was hard for a couple hours as well and bleeding too. So
it's wild because I get you assume you're aware of your own body dimensions, but sometimes you forget how far out
it got stuck.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
You stub your toe, you do things like
sure.
that. So I think it might
I'm
be
constantly
similar.
Getting my penis caught in the garage too. Door. So.
Thank you, Karen.
Kathy, every time you work out, do you have to use a sports bra and does it help?
Oh, I have to. I have to wear a sports bra. I one time went to the gym and forgot a sports bra, so I just thought maybe I could get away with wearing my regular bra. And my husband happened to be at the gym at the same time, and he came over to me and he was like, okay, you should stop running on the treadmill.
That's funny. Well, how big are your areolas?
I have to assume that you get in loads of towel snapping fights with the ladies in the locker room.
Yes.
By the way, this thing with Casey and Kathy has been going on for a dozen years at least.
I'll find
and
out
I
one
get
of these
every
days.
Time he says it, I get emails and they're like, Casey's a creeper. He sounds disgusting when he says that.
Yeah. And that's from Casey's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the open endedness of that last sentence. Yeah. It sounds like a creeper. Pretty much. Yeah.
Let's go to Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's up, Sarah?
So I was going out with a couple of my girlfriends, and I'm in the shower. I'm getting ready. I'm shaving my right leg, and I need to shave my pits after that. So I put my left arm up in the air. I'm shaving my right leg with my right hand. And I went to take the razor and reach up to my left pit, and I nipped my left nipple with the razor. And I knew it immediately, so I started screaming to my girlfriend, who was outside of the room waiting for me. I was like, we have a serious situation in here. I can't just cut my nipple off. And it was bleeding so bad, I had to use a bandage for, like, the next 2 weeks. And wearing a bra hurt. It wouldn't stop bleeding. It just kept opening.
Sarah, I know that the lot of, there you have nerves running in there, and it's... Yeah, I assume it would bleed like a head wound.
Yeah, it just wouldn't stop, and it seemed like, I mean, I guess just because you're always having clothes on it, like my bra, it would just always irritate and open it back up again. It just wouldn't stop bleeding. It was horrible.
Sarah, did you lose any sensitivity after that?
No. No.
All right. Okay.
Were you able to go to your boss and ask if you could work topless? Listen, wow. I nicked myself. Would it be all right if I...
Wow, just flat out cutting it. Ugh.
Took my top off.
Let's see. Let me go to Ann. Hi, Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Ann?
My friend ripped her nipple off.
Whoa!
Oh, ripped it off. God, how?
She had breast reduction surgery, and during breast reduction, they cut your nipple off.
Yes,
and
they actually replace it.
She had a piercing, and she had a barbell in it, and she was wearing a bracelet, and she was sleeping naked, and the bracelet got caught on the barbell, and she flung her arm over her head, and she had to go into, like, therapy for it.
Oh, my God.
So she ripped her own nipple off with the piercing.
Were they able to repair it, Ann?
Yeah, it was all repaired.
I mean,
they grew another nipple on her butt.
No, they just replaced it. Like, it was still healing from the surgery.
That breast reduction, now, I've heard this... reported, they actually have to...
They don't replace your nipple.
They move them, don't they?
They move it, yeah.
And sometimes they'll take it off, remove it, and then...
They'll put it over their eyes.
Right.
They play games.
Yeah.
No,
and then they put it back on.
My wife and Dr. Getter got a breast lift.
A BBG.
A lift. So she didn't get implants or reduction. You got a lift. And yeah, dude, they cut around it. They do what's called the lollipop cut. It comes up from the bottom. It looks like a lollipop up and then a circle around the areola.
Yeah.
And they tighten everything up and they move it. They move it to the,
wow,
the proper spot.
To the east side.
Not to be
blown up, man.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but did she lose any sensitivity in any part of her breast? Like any?
No.
Because I had a friend who had breast augmentation, and from one nipple down on that part of her breast, or left breast, she couldn't feel anything anymore.
She can't play the piano anymore with her breast.
No piano playing whatsoever. No, but like literally, when you touch that part of her boob, she didn't feel a thing.
She didn't go to Dr. Genter, did she?
No, she did not.
She went to Hacky McDoctorstein.
My wife may have heightened sensitivity.
Oh, really?
I can tell. Yeah. So,
yeah. She can tell when it's going to rain.
There you go. That's the lollipop cut. See it on the right there?
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, no,
so
not
so they
bad
just
at
raised
all
that nipple on up.
Is that the same boob? Because then they made the nipple smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks
they, made
like
the,
it.
They made the areola a little smaller, too.
And they put a face on it.
So it looks quite attractive.
She could probably play the piano with that thing.
Let me go to.
Is that. She can no longer do this.
Listen to those.
Your breasts are very talented.
That's impressive. All right, let me go to
I love this song.
Let me go to Becky. Hey, Becky, how you doing?
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, what?
What's happening?
40 double D's here.
40 double D's, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, and they just exploded.
And I went back to close his door, and he must have spilled juice on the floor. So I slipped, and my right breast went into the door jamb as my left hand grabbed the door and closed it. My nipple was in the door jamb when my other hand closed it.
I never even thought of this as something that would happen to women, but I guess if you're packing a lot upstairs, it's something you got to deal with.
Yeah, needless to say, I would say I had to go to the ER. And it had to be stitched up, part of it. I actually lost a quarter of my nipple from the door jam.
A quarter.
And the worst part was that I had my work to look at these doctors face to face as they were suturing my nipple.
When you go in and like a boob thing comes in, and do they all do the rock, paper, scissors to get to see who gets to do it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, it was terrible.
Sorry to hear that.
It burned like there was no tomorrow.
tomorrow. I felt like my whole nipple was going to burn right off.
Well, you know how sensitive nipples are to begin with.
Yeah. Thanks, Becky. Let me go to one more call. By the way, and before I go to her, because Nicole sounds like she had a burning episode, but Kathy, I've heard that, like, curling iron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah.
While you're doing hair, because sometimes you're topless while you're doing that. Have you ever accidentally touched yourself with that?
Ouch. with the curling iron?
Yeah.
No, but the hair dryer does get warm. I wear a robe, though, when I do it. I have to because it does get pretty hot.
Can you put together a list of what you do when you're topless?
Okay, sure.
Let me go to
let me work on that.
Let me go to Nicole. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, guys. Gadzooks, good morning.
Gadzooks. What's up, Nicole?
Oh, my God. This is the best way to stay awake.
I guess.
No, bro. No.
We can't say that, Nicole.
You are at the end of the show.
But thank you. Yeah. I appreciate your passion. Go ahead.
Curling my hair, Kathy and Marissa, you'll totally understand. Curling my hair, I drop the curling iron, but it stays clamped in the ends of my hair. Ugh. And it swings down, and it's like a 2-inch barrel curling iron, and it lands right on the top of my boot as I'm getting ready to go to work.
Ow.
Now, and of course, I was stunned. I was like, holy crap. So I ripped the curling iron out, and I thought, okay, it can't be that bad. It didn't touch for too long.
Yeah.
No, I had to go through all the stages of burn healing.
Oh.
All of it.
So
and those things are so hot.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. And it was a two-inch barrel curling iron, and I ended up having, like, a 2x2.5 burn.
Oh, do you still have a scar from that, Nicole?
Is there a little slight discoloration, very slight.
You know...
Yeah, but at work, it was hysterical. Everybody wanted to see it.
Of course. Yeah. We had a situation where it was it Angela working on...
Yeah.
Kendra?
Yeah.
Did she do it on purpose?
No.
No. She was walking around with her curling iron.
What the hell is wrong with you?
And branded her back, right?
No, she was doing her hair for the calendar shoot, and Kendra had very long hair, and she was curling it, and Kendra, I guess, had on like a tank top or something and hit her back shoulder, and we joked because it looked like it was a cherry. It looked like she burned a cherry on her back.
Right. I can't believe she did that on
Sorry,
purpose.
Angela. Hey, I didn't, you know. I thought it wasn't totally hot and as a just kind of a, you
She's
know.
Not quite
a
right.
Goofy F you. There you go. I'll burn this.
That would be kind of
this awesome. Girl. I'm gonna burn her.
Somebody's pissing you off, or you just hold it against her neck.
I would imagine professional hairstylists don't do that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I sullied her reputation.
She's the top of the top.
God bless her. All right. Anyhow, well, listen. I didn't hear any stories. This all kicked off from an email who a gal smashed her boobs up against the window of her boyfriend's truck, and it. She tapped on the glass and he rolled down the window and her boob, her nipple, got sucked down into the car, awful. Trapped between the window and the door of the car.
Would AAA fix that?
I didn't think anybody would chime in with that happening to them, and it certainly they didn't, but many things have, and you got to be careful when you're packing those things.
Nipple A.
Yeah. Nipple A instead of AAA.
Hey, podcasters, it's Kathy Romano, and I'm here to tell you that it is finally your chance to win a spot to come to Kathy's Bitch Box Party. That's right, our next Preston and Steve sorority party, which will be held on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia, will be featuring the release of Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2. It's a 21 and older event. Winners and guests will each receive Kathy's Bitch Box, which is filled with some of my favorite products. Your first drink is free, plus a happy hour buffet. So I have personally handpicked these items that will go inside of the box, and I'd like to thank all of the contributors. Hey Honey, LC Boutique in Warrington, Original Drinking Buddies, True Beauty Concepts, Braided Charm, Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry, Bondi Band, Sets Beauty, Wind and Wave Soap, Wine Knots, Priori Skincare, Crest Toothpaste, and Jade Yoga. Thank you everyone who contributed to make this amazing Bitch Box. So here's what you have to do for your chance to win tickets to the event. Email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. Again, that's name, age, phone number to podcast@WMMR.com for your chance to win. Thanks for podcasting. Good luck, and I hope to see you on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia for the Preston and Steve Sorority Party, Kathy's Bitch Box event.
Our guests are in the studio and they are ready to go. And we want to welcome to our studio Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having us.
Castleman. Good to have you back, Jake, first of all.
Nice to be back.
Thanks for being here. And Damon, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah. You guys having fun so far on this promotional tour?
Well, I just saw this.
David the Calendar.
Big fan.
We call it the catalog for people like you, Dan.
Right.
Flip through, celebrities. Point pick.
Yes. Celebrities can treat it as a catalog. We treat it as a calendar. Yeah. So.
I enjoy it as a catalog.
Yeah, as a catalog. Yes. All right. Well, make
I
your
feel
selections.
Weird talking about this. There is a young man in here.
He's actually the pimp.
He took the photos.
He's the one. Yeah.
What's up, Big Daddy?
Right. He's a younger Huggy Bear. So.
I think your uncle Marlon took like 6 of those when he was here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a real creep. Yeah.
He doesn't mean take the calendar. It took 6 of those. Marlon just points.
It's just tired, yeah. The old Hefner routine.
Yeah. What a great twist on the Buddy Cop franchise. Because, I mean, it's been done. It's been redone. It's been done great sometimes. Yeah. It's been done lousy sometimes. But you guys have found this interesting twist, and I love the idea of this fact. These guys aren't real cops. Why don't you set the story up for people who might not know what this is about?
Well, that's what pulled us into it. We're the same way. We love the buddy cop genre. So what we like about this movie is they're just two friends who dress up like cops. So we're never cops. All of it's fake. But it's what two regular dudes would do if they were in cop uniforms. Everyone thought they had power. Everyone thought they had guns. And then they started to believe it.
Well, Jake, you know, there was an actual, there was a piece, I think it was 2020 did it, or Dateline or whatever. This is a thing that happens a lot. Dudes dress up as cops. They'll pull people over. Yeah. Preston, you constantly have stories that you report on. Then they make that mistake of pulling over an actual cop or something.
That's right.
But there is something inherently... You operate from a position of authority.
That's right. Yep.
When you guys put on the uniform, now obviously you're putting on the uniform for the movie, but still, did you feel something?
Well, there was one day when I was shooting at a school, and we were outside, and a woman's car alarm was going off, and I was in uniform. Right. Now, she saw an entire film crew.
Right, yeah.
So I thought she had the sense to know something was going on.
Sure.
And so, obviously joking, I go, "Ma'am, what is going on?" And she turned and she's like, "It's my car alarm." And I go, "It's obviously not your car." Her hands were shaking so hard, I felt like she might die of a heart attack. And I liked that feeling. Yeah.
And that is the enticement for you, bait your guys. You're finding yourself here. Maybe your career hasn't gone exactly the way you want.
Yeah.
You go to a college costume party, you decide you'll do this, and then you like it. You get off on it, and it just keeps building and building until it sort of becomes an action movie.
Yeah.
At one point transitions into that.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about it too, that drew us to the movie, was that I guess like the end of the second half towards the end of the movie is just like all action. And we had fun doing that.
Do you know what I love? Also, you guys come from. I'm a huge fan of The New Girl and Happy Endings was a show I love. Damon, you were fantastic.
Thank you, man.
But you guys, you come into this. You had that. These things live and die by whether or not there's chemistry between the leads.
Absolutely.
You guys already had that. Was that a blessing and b a problem because you just didn't want to port your characters over from The New Girl?
Well, you know, actually, we had only done the pilot of New Girl.
Oh, okay.
And then we each got this script, and we read the script, and we both liked it, and we both knew that they liked the other one for it. And because of that, because we both agree, you know, this is a friendship movie at its core. So if you don't have that chemistry,
it doesn't work. Yeah.
So we called each other and basically said, you know, I'll do the movie if you do the movie. And then we came back and said, we would love to do it. We'd love to do it together. We didn't care, you know, who had each character.
Sure.
We were like, however the pieces fall, if we can do it together, we believe we can make this thing work.
You know, the thing is, you guys also, and you do it, you're such a great ensemble, The New Girl ensemble. You're all very adroit at you can go big, but you can go subtle.
Absolutely.
And it's clear that there's a lot of improv. I was reading that a lot of what we see on screen, what we will see in the movie, is stuff that you guys improvised with the writer.
Yeah.
And just so you had the core that you liked.
That's right.
But you knew it was a work in progress.
Well, that was also another condition for the movie, was like, I'll do it if he does it. Also, we have to loosen it up. You know, we got to be able to improvise and kind of be free to kind of do what we do. We're not going to change the story at all, but we're definitely going to have fun with the dialogue.
This is sort of a new way to do movies. Where you take, because so many gems can come out of the experience, but it was not something that was being done for a long time.
Right.
But now it's more and more. You get talented
improvisational people such as yourself on a set and let it go? Because I would have to imagine, okay, you can do a little bit of prep, but when you're sitting there in the squad car, in the uniforms, it's going to be different.
But also, and this is not something we really talked about in press, but, you know, if you think about the way something's written, when they wrote, you know, Damon's character, who's more like pensive and scared, and the guy who doesn't want to do it.
Right.
It wasn't written for, like, a cool black dude. It was written for a nerdy white dude.
Right.
And so when he gets the part and he just reads it kind of word perfect, you're like, something's off. I don't believe that dude is that dude.
Yeah.
And then when Damon changes it, you're like, all right, well, it does change the dynamic a little bit.
Well, we can get rid of the freckles part.
So wait, how long has this movie been in the works, if this is something that you guys had read for an audition for? Prior to the pilot, A New Girl.
No, not prior to the pilot. No. We did the pilot. Oh. And we shot this movie last summer, and we auditioned for it during last season, or two seasons ago.
Let me ask you guys about your relationship. Have you guys been friends for a while? Because you had auditioned for the part of Winston on The New Girl.
No, Coach.
Coach. Yeah.
I was the original. I was the original black dude on New Girl.
Right. But then you took Happy Endings, and then they loved you so much that they were like, we need to...
No, he was on Happy Endings.
You're on, okay. I didn't understand that.
It's tricky. It's all about like positioning and network stuff. But he was on Happy Endings, and then they thought that show was going to get canceled. And so all the cast members, Pally was on a show, Casey Wilson went on another pilot. We got him for Coach, and then Happy Endings got picked up. So all those people went back to Happy Endings, and all those slots on shows had to get filled.
And New Girl did a crazy thing. They have two black characters.
Yeah.
It's a huge error. Yeah. It is a huge mistake.
And the thing is, it doesn't matter because it's so hilarious. It's so well done. You talked about some of the Bloom is his name? Paley, you said?
Paley. Adam Paley. Yeah.
Right. He's on now the Mindy Project.
Yes, that's right.
So they had a great group of people who obviously, thankfully, are all finding work.
Yeah.
But it's rare that you get two great ensemble shows with two great casting.
Yeah, I'm thankful. I'm glad they didn't kill my character off.
Right.
Like, there was talk.
Hey, has the New Girl cast seen the movie yet? Have you guys had, did you have a party or anything like that? No?
Have they?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to hopefully all come to the premiere because we start shooting. This movie comes out August 13th, which is a Wednesday, and I think we start shooting the 11th, which is that Monday.
Keep out of it. We start shooting the 4th.
Oh, do you?
Ooh. Yeah, we're going to be in there, dude.
Yeah, you're going to miss your scenes.
I'm a huge fan of the New Girl. It's such a funny show. Yeah,
thanks,
we all
guys.
Are. But I gotta say, you your character ruins something for me. Your character does something that I've been doing for years, and now I can't do it anymore because now it looks like I'm just doing what your character.
Which is?
I moonwalk out of conversations.
That's just something you do.
Uh-huh. And now you do. I'm like, I do that.
Yeah. I'm not copying. He copied. I'm not copying. He copied. And then you get like paranoid about it. You're like, he was actually here. He was here. He didn't do it while he was here. He saw me do it.
I think it's a show that's growing, too, and it's fun for me because I've liked it since Kathy told me about it, I guess about 2 years ago, and then my wife started getting into it because of the Prince episode, and that's her favorite artist of all time.
Great.
Prince is crazy.
He's got and he's tiny.
Yeah.
And crazy.
He's super tiny.
Yeah.
How tiny is he? Because, I mean, he looks pretty tiny.
I feel like he's not quite 5 feet. Like, with heels on, he's 5 feet.
Really?
But that must have been so much fun.
It was fun.
3, maybe?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was, you know, honestly, you wanted him at first, you know, there's like a big hoopla around it.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, Prince is coming at 5. Everybody, Prince is coming at 5. You're like, why are you whispering?
But we don't know if he's coming.
Yeah, but we don't
Prince
know if he's coming.
Coming 5,
but he might be
but
coming.
He might not come at all.
And then there's like 16 people in an entourage who dress like Prince.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, a purple outfit. And you're like, what the hell is going on? But then Prince comes out and he's kind of just a regular dude from Minneapolis.
Wow.
Where you're like,
and
hey,
like
Prince?
You're nervous though.
You're nervous.
Like, he makes you nervous because it's like the whole Prince is coming. You're like, oh my gosh, Prince is coming.
And then you think like, I gotta act weird because Prince is here.
Yeah. And then he showed up and he had these had these heels on that were light up high heels. It's like one was blue, one was red.
Like my daughter's.
Yeah. No, but they were high heels though, clear ones. I hope your daughter does not have clear high heels.
Would they light up when he stepped?
Yes, like every time he steps.
Sneakers?
Yeah.
They were like,
I'll be right back. I'm going to go change.
They were the I'm going to get you sneakers at the midway. With the fish tanks in them.
Oh, that's great.
Wait, didn't you guys pretend to be cops in that episode too?
To
get into the party?
No, we pretended to be like
Fire and Ice,
long lost friends or something.
Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
And you were ham and cheese.
Then
right?
Schmidt and I were ham and cheese.
So you have a great cat. You have Rob Riggle, who's
the best.
Hilarious. And Nina Dobrev. Is that
yeah. Yeah, she's
from
incredible.
Vampire Diaries.
Dude,
so hot
Eddie
as
Garcia.
Hell.
Garcia. Yeah. Riggle's awesome in this movie because, you know, everybody knows Riggle as being so funny, but, you know, he really did serve our country.
Yep.
He's
yeah.
a Marine.
Oh, yeah.
And in this movie, he gets to show some action where, you know, we fought for him to be in this movie, and it was a funny thing because the director at one point goes, or maybe one of the producers, I don't remember, but he goes, "We love Rob. And we love him." We're like, "So do we."
Yeah.
They're like, "But can he do action?" And we go, "You sure believe in us to do action. This man served our country.
Yeah.
Fought a war.
Yeah.
In a movie, he can shoot a fake gun."
Right. Yes. Is he still a reserve? I think he just retired. He just retired.
I think he did
yeah.
over 20 years of service.
He's a badass.
He's a badass.
Yeah.
It's so good in this movie.
So funny, though.
Yeah.
Even though you guys don't play real cops, I mean, you have interaction with real firearms that they take you guys out and train you on them and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I got a guy from the Special Forces came out and showed me around because my character gets into it. So we're both fake cops, but my character like promotes himself a lot and believes he's really good, even though he isn't. So they wanted me to at least know some of the moves so that I could screw them up.
In fact, your character gets a squad car off of eBay, right?
That's yeah. right.
So which is great. When you're around like a real deal
yeah.
Navy SEAL, don't you feel like the biggest pussy
yes,
in the world?
I mean, they're absolutely. Just 100%.
It's a whole other breed. Just police officers in general,
yes.
what they do. Did you do any ride alongs just for the hell of it?
Yeah, we did a ride along in LA, actually.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they took us into. Like, the ghetto has a ghetto inside of it.
Ghetto? Wow.
This is really true.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was the scariest thing. There was, like, gang parties. There was, like, a little kid walking around with, like, a pistol in his diaper. It's the scariest thing.
Dude, so you mean, there are people who, when they say, let's get out of here and get back to the ghetto.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Well, there's
like a warning ghetto. That's right. In the ghetto, people were going like, "This is the ghetto. This is the ghetto's ghetto." It was honestly, it was one of those life changing moments because
wow.
the cops would say like. So we went to this gang party in the ghetto's ghetto, and the cop said to us, "Whatever you do, don't give these guys your information.
Yeah,
because when we're gone, they'll come and try to get money." And Dave and I looked at each other and we're like. Why would we give them our information? Why are we here?
Yeah. Here's my PIN number.
Actors.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah.
So you guys have been promoting this for a long time. I was really bummed out. A couple of months ago, I saw in the Daily News, it was after the fact, you guys had done a whole college tour.
We did.
So, you know, I was like, yeah. And I saw that. I was like, I can't believe you guys were in the city. And we didn't have you. I was so mad.
You were living.
I was really pissed.
Yeah.
Because we've had you on before, and you're one of the favorite guests that we've ever had on here. So, you guys have been doing this for months and months. And where are you off to next?
We go to Dallas tonight, mm-hmm. and then we're in Chicago. And yeah, we've been. You know, it's one of those movies where it tested high early, so they started. Pushing it around, and we got to go to colleges, and we keep moving around.
I think it's going to be a hit. The Red Band trailer, which we have up on PresidentSteve.com, is just
laughed
effing
out loud.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Well, if you're just tuning in, it's Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr., and they're here talking about Let's Be Cops. We would like to do something with you guys, if you don't mind. Since this is a sort of buddy cop movie,
sure.
we'd like to test you guys on your buddy cop movie knowledge.
Ooh.
And we actually...
it's, man, I'm going to be bad at this.
Well, you'll be against each other.
Okay.
So... So you got a fighting chance at this, and what I want to do is get some callers on the line, and I'm going to have Jake and also Damon play for you for a prize. Now, we have these podiums.
Oh, I'm going to have to lose for a real person?
yeah. It's
everybody
right.
listening, go on Damon's team. I'm saying that as a friend.
That's pretty easy. Three callers for Damon, three callers for Jake. You don't get to choose. We're just going to put you right in. So, guys, going over to our podiums because we've got buzzers and headphones and microphones and all that good stuff, and we will try this out.
We did this up the real way here.
Let's get callers on the line at 215-263-WMMR, and then after we're done with this, we'll have the guys back over and we can chat a little bit more. But we have this set up. In fact, do we have this on the Rebel Casino webcam?
Absolutely do, yeah.
Rebel Casino and Hotel webcam. Make sure that you check this out. So we have both Jake and Damon who are in their location. So should we give this a try?
Let's give it a try.
Do me a favor. Jake, test your microphone. I want to make sure I have that on.
One, two.
It's perfect. Damon, is yours working?
Check. Now?
Yeah, so here's... All right, that's Jake. And then... That's Damon. And by the way, they cancel each other out. So if one of you hits it first, that's the noise. Even if you hit it the same, just off a little bit, the one who hits it first is going to make the noise. So you guys ready to try this out?
Let's yeah.
go. All right. Round of applause, everybody. Yeah. Let's get started. A mainstay of pop culture entertainment has been the classic buddy cop scenario and celebration of the entire genre being redefined with the soon-to-be-released instant classic Let's Be Cops. We present the Great Buddy Cop Challenge. And now your contestants and stars of Let's Be Cops, Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr. Our contestants that they are playing for today include Damon is going to be playing for Jim, Joe, and Mike. Three guys ready to go. And Jake is going to be playing for Rob, Michelle, and Randy. And whoever gets the most points is going to end up getting prizes for those people. Here's how you play the game, gentlemen. I will ask 11 Buddy Cop movie and Buddy Cop TV show related questions, which you can answer by buzzing in. However, I encourage you to listen to the whole question before answering. Now, if you guess an answer correctly, you get a point. However, if you guess incorrectly, your rival may then buzz in with an answer. So
all right.
keep that in mind. Are you guys ready to begin?
Ready.
All right. Out of the 11 questions, here goes question number one. On the CBS buddy cop series Cagney and Lacey, which of the two women was desperately unattractive and annoying? All right, let's go to Jake. What is your answer?
Both of them.
That's correct. Yes. Woo! Yes.
That is exactly
right.
Man. Yes.
And here you thought you weren't going to be good at this. Nice work, Jake.
Thanks.
Question
I'm a big fan of the show.
Question number two. In the classic craptacular movie Tango and Cash, starring Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone, who played Tango? Damon, you have the answer. What is it?
Kurt Russell.
That is incorrect. Which means you can buzz in, Jake. What's your answer?
Stallone.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, obviously. You got it right.
And I still got a little nervous. That took me right back to high school. They're like, Jake, and I'm like, I don't know this one.
Stallone played narcotics officer Lieutenant Ray Tango. Interesting fun fact, Terry Hatcher played Stallone's sister Kiki Tango, by the way.
Kiki Tango was her name.
So far, it's 2-0. 2-0. Jake's ahead. Okay. Number three. 1989 generated two buddy cop vehicles that featured a human detective and a dog. What are the titles of those two pairings? All right. Damon is buzzed in. Damon?
K-9 something? I don't think that's the title.
No, and, keep going.
Bitch, we're cops.
That is incorrect.
Bitch with cops.
Jake, do you want to buzz in and try? Okay, he's buzzed in.
Tom Hanks and Hooch.
Of course.
That feels right.
You are very close.
Very close.
That is incorrect. Okay. So, Damon, I'm sorry.
Damon buzzed in again.
Damon tried to buzz in again. It's incorrect. It was K-9. Which you got one, but you needed to name both. And the other was Turner and Hooch. However,
it was with Tommy Hanks.
However, we would have also accepted Cagney and Lacey. I'm sorry, no point on that one. No point.
All right,
next question, number four. First, a TV show in the 80s and then a movie in 2006. Both followed the exploits of Crockett and Tubbs. Jake?
Miami Vice.
That is correct. Yes, that is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, I have a bonus question here. Should we do this for a point?
Yes. Okay. I think just to let Damon get a shot at getting back in the game here.
You can both buzz in for this. Philip Michael Thomas, who played Tubbs on Miami Vice, the TV series, used to wear a necklace with the word EGOT, meaning Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Awards. To this date, how many of those awards has Philip Michael Thomas won?
Damon?
Damon?
Zero.
Yeah!
Give the man time. He's not done. He's not done.
No.
Until he's in the ground, he's not done.
Jake, he's just taking a break.
Yeah, 3-1 is the answer. He's if you're just tuning in, we have Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans who are here. Damon Wayans Jr. and Let's Be Cops is a film they're promoting, a buddy cop film, and we are asking buddy cop questions. So far, it's 3-1 with Jake being ahead. Here's the next question. Number 5. In the David Fincher classic 7, starring cop buddies Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, which deadly sin is caused by the discovery of Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box? Damon wants to answer. Damon?
Gluttony.
Gluttony is incorrect.
You see... so confident.
He doesn't eat her head.
He's going to eat her head.
It's Jake, a tasty looking head, I'll give you that.
You got a chance to steal here. Do you want to buzz in and try? It's a deadly sin. May as well take a stab at one of them.
Flexing so hard you need to go to the bathroom.
No. That was rage.
Oh, rage.
Wrath.
It's the sin generated when Pitt kills Kevin Spacey's character. So spoiler alert. Wrath. But we also would have accepted Cagney and Lacey.
Who's in the box?
All right.
Who's in the box?
Who's in the box?
Who's in the box?
Question number 6.
By the way, that's a hilarious duo.
Yeah.
I guess we're just going straight comedies with old Pitt and Morgan cracking everybody up again.
Question number 6. The original Lethal Weapon featured Danny Glover and Mel Gibson as Murtaugh and Riggs. Now, throughout the film, Murtaugh makes this observation about his situation. This is a multiple choice. Is it A, I think I'm just about the right age for this S? B, thanks to Centrum Silver, I've never been more ready for this S? Or C, I'm getting too old for this S? Damon is going for it.
Getting too old for this S.
That is correct. Yes. Right. So a point.
It's a line you use in the movie, correct?
That's right. Damon improvised that line.
Yeah.
It's we're walking up and we kept talking about how cool Lethal Weapon was and how, let's be honest, black, white.
Yes, exactly.
Let's just say we're jumping into that world. So he improvised that line about, I feel too old for this in this outfit or something.
All right. Damon is narrowing the gap down. It's 3-2. Here we go. Next question. Question number 6. I'm going to give you a line from a certified movie bomb featuring a unique buddy cop pairing, and I want you to give me the title of this movie. And I'll give you a multiple choice, all right? So here is the line. I'm your worst nightmare. I'm an 8-year-old with a badge.
Oof.
Is it A, Incident at Neverland Ranch? B, Cop and a Half? C, Stop or My Mom... All right, that means Jake wants to jump in.
Cop and a Half, directed by Henry Winkler, folks.
Yes, absolutely correct. That's another
dude
point
knows
for Jake.
His Cop and a Half.
Why do you know so much about that movie?
Don't ask that question. You'll be forced to hear the answer, and it's a dark one. Next question.
4-2, Jake's leading. Here's number 8. You have enough time to get in here and win this, Damon. Number 8. Michael Bay's directorial debut was a buddy cop movie with a title often asked. What you gonna do when they come for you? Damon, what's your answer?
Bad Boys.
He's got it. Yes, that's correct. All right, so far it's 4-3.
Wow.
Jake ahead by 1. We're getting down to the wire.
Come on, a nail biter.
We have 11 altogether. Here's question number 9. Though considered an anti-buddy cop movie, this gritty 2001 drama earned one of its male leads a Best Actor Oscar. Damon, what you got?
Training Day.
That is correct. He's tied it up.
Yes. Damn. That's impressive.
Give me the black ones. I know these.
Give me the dorky white ones. I know these. Cop and a Half.
You knew
again,
Andrew
Cop Winkler. And a Half.
One more? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do we have time for?
Well, no, just because there's 2 more. So if and it's tied right now, 4-4.
If you want to have a definitive winner,
it's okay.
Yeah. Your call, though.
And if neither of them get this next one right, we have a fallback.
All right. Here you go. This is number 11 in the final question to see who wins. Not actually a straight up buddy cop movie. The Last Boy Scout featured Bruce Willis and one of your fathers.
My dad, Kenny.
No. By the way, there's a hint. The hint is he's African American.
No!
Oh, my mom's boyfriend, Ron!
No!
David?
My daddy.
Oh! Yes! That's right, David wins. And David wins the Buddy Cop Challenge!
I can't believe it.
Let's give some consolation gifts for all of Jake's.
Yeah, they'll get prizes.
Yeah,
and
that one sucked at the end. I blew it, guys. Everybody, Randy, that one's on me, pal.
Everybody wins. We'll set everybody up. You guys did well. Come back over here. Let's get it for you. Yeah. Jay Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr. and the Buddy Cop.
You guys were pretty competitive. I have to say, nice. You were neck and neck.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
You just accidentally thought your dad was in the last Boy Scout.
My dad, Kenneth. No.
So we got a new nickname, speaking of his dad.
Come on, man.
So Damon and I spent a lot of time together, and everywhere we go, and I'm talking everywhere, somebody has to stop him and go, "You know you look a lot like your dad, right?" And every time he's very polite, he's like, "Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a whole thing about it.
Yeah.
And so we were doing some radio in Atlanta. And everything was normal. And at the end, she goes, "Goodbye, Jake." And then she goes, "Bye, Daddy Face."
Daddy Face.
And then Daddy
the
face.
Whole room exploded with laughter. And Jake has just been calling me Daddy Face ever since.
A part of me died in a really good way, because now I know what to call one of my good friends.
Daddy Face.
Damon, what does your dad call you? Are you Junior? Are you JR? Are you Damon?
He calls me D.
Okay.
Accident.
Damn. Go back in.
Yeah. He said, I thought I finished on your mom's back.
I had more money until you came. Things with mom changed when you were around.
Yeah. You destroyed our relationship.
That's good. I have to say, when you first came on the scene, I hadn't seen you. I was like, oh, man, there's another Wayans. And then,
so many.
And I will say this, and I will deny it when the other family members show up. I think you, comedic acting chops wise, you are just phenomenal.
Oh, thank you, man.
There's so much pyrotechnics, and you'll agree, and Jake, you as well, obviously. But I mean, in the family, a very talented family, some of the dialogue on both shows, Happy Endings, I thought was a phenomenal show as well. It's just very precise, and a lot of that stuff doesn't work if you don't have a command for it.
Absolutely.
So you're phenomenal. And this is why I think this movie. I mean, I all the advance is great on it. So,
Thanks, any
word as far as at this point, has there been talk of a second?
No, we got to see how it does.
See how it does? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, because I know Hollywood likes to.
Well, back in the day, they used to do this is a really good idea. Let's make like two more.
Now
it's like,
wait and see.
They're going to wait and see how much money this makes.
We really like it, but you know.
We're just not so sure about the white guy. But we love David.
Yeah. No, both you guys are phenomenal. I think this a time for this is here. And I just think the concept is so brilliant because you see about it in the news all the time, as we said before.
Totally.
And we can get in the mind of guys who would do this sort of thing.
Absolutely. So,
thanks,
very
man.
Cool. Yeah.
Excellent.
A hard R, by the way.
It is.
That's what they're saying.
Nudity.
Hard R.
And we fought for that, Damon especially. There's a scene in the Ace Hardware that when you see it, you'll know what we're talking about. But
are there any Beaver shots in this? Scene. Any Beaver
I mean, Guy Beaver.
Okay.
Right. But it's so small, it might as well be a Beaver shot. So I'm nude in the movie, everybody.
It's so small, it constitutes a Beaver shot.
I mean, when you see the movie, you'll know what we're talking about. But there was quite literally a scene where it's written in that there's, you know, a guy's penis is flopping around in the wind, and we're cops and we have to deal with it. And the guy came out and took his drawers off, and Damon and I became people who we both admitted to hating after. But we were like, it's fine. It's just, we wish it was bigger.
Yeah. It was like an innie. He had an innie.
Oh, and that's we were like depressing. Disappointed. And we're like, why are we disappointed?
We shouldn't care.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. That's what matters.
So you decided to keep him as just an actor friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like super nice. It's just I don't feel it. Whatever it is, I don't
friend
feel
zoned.
It.
He got friend zoned.
Well, the hard R, Let's Be Cops is Jake. Damon, great to see you.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Stay with us.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice. Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Florida authorities have charged a woman with prostitution after she agreed to perform a sex act on an undercover detective for $25 and chicken McNuggets.
Man, those nuggets are good.
The Miami Herald reports 22-year-old Alex Derino was being held Sunday without bond at the Manatee County Jail on charges of prostitution, possession of drug paraphernalia, and on outstanding warrants. Records show that the incident happened last week. An undercover detective told the woman that he wanted oral, and she agreed to do it for $25. As they briefly went back and forth on the price, she finally agreed to perform the act for $25, and she wanted chicken McNuggets as well.
She's a tough bargainer.
Yeah.
It is unclear
whether... He talked her down from a shamrock shake, though.
Whether Derino has retained an attorney or not, but that's what she wanted. This is a follow-up. The owner of a giant rabbit who died in the care of United Airlines last Tuesday says the scandal-scarred airline cremated her bunny's remains so that she would never know the truth about how it died.
So this is a beloved pet transported on the plane, and then it dies mysteriously, and they incinerate it.
Well, she's a breeder, so I'm not sure if it was a beloved pet or not.
Maybe her husband.
Maybe, but yeah. The whole thing stinks of a cover-up, she said. This is Annette Edwards. She said, I had been asking United over and over again for his body so that I could have him examined here in Britain, but they never got back to me. All I want to know is how he died. Edwards, a UK rabbit breeder, was flying the 3-foot-long continental giant rabbit dubbed Simon from London to Chicago's O'Hare Airport.
Perfect.
To deliver him to his new owner in the U.S. when he inexplicably kicked the bucket. United claimed the rabbit was alive when it was taken out of the cargo section of a Boeing 767. The airline's CEO has actually commented on this. Oscar Munoz tried to apologize after the rabbit's death, but drew fire for likening the pet to misplaced bags. A source told the outlet...
Their PR department is top level.
A source told the outlet that the Chicago airport workers killed the bunny by mistakenly leaving it in a freezer overnight.
Jeez.
Don't most airports have rabbit autopsy facilities?
But United claimed in a statement Sunday that no such thing had ever happened. The assertion that Simon died in a freezer is completely false, the airline
said. He died in an oven.
Simon was cared for at the PetSafe Kennel facility, which is kept at room temperature, on average 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
In fact, it's so safe the pets die when they go there.
He arrived at Chicago O'Hare Airport in apparent good condition at 10:25 a.m. He was seen by a representative of the kennel's facility moving about... within his crate at 11 a.m. shortly thereafter, a kennel representative noticed Simon was motionless and determined that he had passed away. So they burned it.
Is that policy?
They incinerated the body.
If a passenger died during a flight, would they just incinerate the body?
I do not know. All right, it's fair to say that recreating old family photos can produce hilarious results. However, there are definitely some pictures that are better left untouched, and a lot of people feel that perhaps... they should have been the case in this particular post by a guy named Tyler Walker. Do me a favor, interns in the other room, see if you can find this father-son recreated photo of them in the bathtub. Kathy, have you seen this yet?
Uh-uh.
You need to see
it. Okay, yes. All right.
Okay. It tries to recreate a picture in which Tyler is sat in a bathtub on the knee of his dad as they both smile at the camera. All other things considered, you have to admire the commitment to both men to doing as good a job as possible at matching it up. So here's the pre-photo. We're showing this in the studio. Can you show the reenacted photo of the father and son, please? I want to get their reaction.
Oh, my God.
They're both naked. The dad is laying on his back in the tub. The full-on grown adult son is naked as well, sitting on his lap. It looks like gay porn.
It looks completely like gay porn.
It's hilarious. It has unsurprisingly been shared thousands and thousands of times since Tyler, who is from Oregon, posted it on his Facebook page with the caption, "We've both grown up a bit."
And the son, correct me if I'm wrong, is an A cup.
He does have some boobies on him.
Yeah.
While a lot of people found it hilarious, others felt that they could never go back after seeing that particular picture. But
I recreated a picture for my brother and two cousins, all three adults, and it doesn't look like gay porn, but of course it is, you know, a little odd to see three adults in the bathtub.
Oh, you guys are in a bathtub. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You know,
I like that.
I want to do something similar.
All right. Would you mind sending that over? Do you want that poster? Is that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. A prank making the rounds on social media is catching the attention of the Denver Police Department as officers are investigating. After a teen made waves at a local sporting goods store on Saturday, police said the apparent prank targeted the Stapleton Bass Pro Shops and its famous aquarium full of fish. The latest in a series of pranks that have gone viral online encouraged people to jump into aquariums from an upper bridge inside of most Bass Pro Shops.
Does Cabela's have something like this?
They do. Yeah, they have a huge one. One customer said, you should have the level of mental development to understand, hey, this is not a good idea.
No.
So a teen jumped into the tank. He ended up cracking his head open. He injured his head. Yeah, a store employee said he saw another teen taking video of the daring jump, and the suspect cracked his skull on the rocks. Now, I don't know how badly he was injured, but police said the teen might face charges if he caused damage to the tank of fish. So they are going to look into that. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Chris Stapleton. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Well, Farrah Abraham was arrested after allegedly getting into a physical altercation with staffers at a Beverly Hills hotel. Onlookers say Abraham seemed intoxicated, not herself, noting that she seemed to have no interest in appearing in any more ass porn. Jamie Foxx is being accused of slapping a woman in her face with his penis nearly 16 years ago during a party at his house. Fox says the woman is mischaracterizing the incident and that he and his guests were simply playing a version of Pin the Tail on the Donkey called Slap Your Penis on a Bitch's Face.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You guys liking this?
And finally, yeah. Lincoln Adim is the guy's name. A current contestant on the new season of The Bachelor became convicted of a criminal sex crime just 1 week before the show's premiere. Adim held a press conference while holding a rose saying, quote, well, if it's a crime to love someone with all of your heart and then sexually assault them, then call me guilty. And that's your Hollywood Journey.
I saw this story. Let me see where this is. It is the makers of Sriracha hot sauce.
Oh.
That's a pretty popular hot sauce, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, have started to receive a complaint about the smells coming from the Southern California factory. The city of Irwindale filed a lawsuit asking a judge to stop production at the Huifeng Foods factory. And residents have complained of burning eyes, irritated throats, and headaches.
Why all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the factory's been around for a long time.
But listen to this. Huifeng initially cooperated with the city, but talks broke down last week after company representatives denied that there was an odor problem. I would imagine that would piss off residents a little bit.
Right.
Now there's no problem here.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. But
we have determined that you are completely insane. Thank you for coming today.
But it got me to thinking, you know, if you live in an area where there is some sort of production facility or anything for that matter, where there is a regular odor, and it doesn't even have to be unpleasant, you know, just some sort of a scent,
an odor
that makes its way in. Yeah. A stench, if you will, if it would be bad.
I had the home run for years. I lived within mile and a half of the Entenmann's factory.
So
you'd wake up. Oh, it's cinnamon rolls today. it was so good. And then we also had one of the best bread bakeries right on the block where we were living.
God, that smells good.
You had Entenmann's with the dessert stuff.
Yeah.
And then I don't care what kind of bread, or it just out of the oven, you could smell it. We were perpetually hungry, but it was joyous. It was wonderful.
Well, we didn't live far from the Nabisco factory, so when we would get in the car, we would always, you know, ask, are we going to drive past it?
Right.
Really?
It smelled good.
It is the best, man. But that Entenmann smell, and it was strong, I have to say. If people had an aversion to it, it would have been an issue. But who doesn't like the smell of chocolate chip cookies?
Other than a fresh baked cookie, those are they have to be the best.
Yeah, oh, they're awesome.
215-263-WMMR, by the way, our number. Like, if you live, I know people who live right next to some farmland. I live near farmland, but, well, you know what? Occasionally it does come up. They have sheep. And sometimes if you smell some sort of livestock, that is not a pleasant odor at all. I mean, it just.
Well, it depends.
It's poop.
Yeah.
What do you mean it depends?
Like, there's some farm smells. Like, I like the smell of hay.
Well, I know, but
not animal crap. I tend to not like that.
If they have livestock, if there are pigs, if there are goats, there are sheep, pigs. there are cattle.
Chickens.
Then you're in, oh my God.
Like a long
They're
chicken
terrible,
poop.
Right?
Yeah, it's
is
terrible.
It's hideous.
Awful.
And it will waft and hang, you know? But
have you ever been? Go ahead.
I had a pleasant scent that I lived near for a year when I was in St. Louis. I had an apartment in the city, and I was a couple of miles away from the Anheuser-Busch factory, which is the main brewery in the country.
Yeah,
for Budweiser and its brands. And on certain days, they would be boiling up all that stuff, and I think it's called wort, which they eventually make it into. And when that stuff is boiling, man, I could smell it plain as
day. Did you like it?
I loved it.
Is it the same smell one gets when they go into a microbrewery?
Yeah.
I do like that smell as well.
If they've got those kettles cooking, that's what you're smelling.
I don't even drink beer, and I like that smell.
Yeah, that smelled nice. What were you going to ask me? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Staten Island. Fishkill, I think it is. Because they have
Sounds
all of
like
this.
Sounds like that would smell lovely.
Oh, my God. Because they have all of this waste treatment stuff going on.
Yeah.
And it's so dense, you have to roll up your windows. And there are strip malls around and everything. I'm like, how do people live like this? I guess after a while, you become immune to it. You don't realize it.
Yeah.
But when you're traveling through, it stinks.
Wow.
I think one of the worst smells I've ever encountered was in North Carolina behind a caravan of pig trucks. And it was one livestock truck after another, and they were all open air, and there were probably five of them. And
bacon.
And I love bacon.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't? But, it was just one of those things where, it was so intense and surrounded by it and permeated everything. Yeah. It was just awful.
Is that the most acidic poop out? I mean, I know we're going off on a side tangent here, but I think you're right with the pig stuff, the pig crap.
It just
devastate you.
I think the poop factory next to the airport on 95 was just a horrible place to be. For that.
Kind of get
used to
that.
It's not there anymore, but for anybody visiting the city,
welcome. Airport. Yeah, you leave the airport, you head towards the city, and you drive through no man's land.
Let me go to some calls. If you live near a place that either smells overly pleasant or horrible, but just some kind of a scent hanging in the air, I'm going to go to Jake. Hi, Jake. Good morning.
You guys rock.
Oh, hey, man. What's happening, bud?
My grandma, it's not my house. But I hated going out to my grandmother's house when she moved out of the city because she moved into a place called Rearsburg, first of all.
Right.
Sounds like that would smell good.
It smelled like poop because she lived right next to a mushroom farm.
I've heard that mushroom farms are stenchy.
It was so bad that sometimes during a barbecue that everybody would be inside, and my pop-up would go outside and wear a protective mask because his eyes would water.
Wow! No way. So, Jake, it was a poop smell.
It was just like almost if you let poop get old and then you peed on it. It was terrible.
It's like,
yeah, Kennett Square, man.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the town just a couple of times and it stunk those couple of times I went there.
Is it the fertilizer combined with the mushrooms that does it?
I think it's the fertilizer.
Okay.
I think they grow it in straight up dump.
Poop.
Yeah. And sometimes of year it's worse than other times, but it's always there. It permeates the town.
Hang on. Here we have Adam worked at a mushroom factory. Adam, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I work next to a mushroom plant.
Okay.
Morning, you guys rock, fire in the hole, baby.
Thanks, brother.
I worked overnight doing electric work in it's either Temple, Pennsylvania or Tempe, Pennsylvania. I forget the name.
Yeah.
But, we have to go outside, smoke a cigarette. And I ended up quitting smoking. We were there for 6 weeks, and if you went outside, it smelled like someone took a wet shark and just wiped it on your upper lip.
Wow.
It's like the gentleman just said that hung up. It makes your eyes water. You know, we were dying, and there was actually a couple people that stopped smoking. I mean, I was a pack a day, dude.
So, and, Adam, it was so powerful, it made you go cold turkey on cigarettes.
Yes, sir. We didn't want to go outside. We took small lunch breaks because there was nothing to do.
Hey, but Adam,
all we did was just work. You didn't want to go out. You ran to your car.
Would it end up on your clothing?
No.
Wait a minute. Adam.
Thank God it didn't come home with us.
So not only did this cause you to quit smoking, but you also got in shape because you were running to your car every day.
That's right. I'm burning calories, and it's good for my lungs.
That's it. Nice. He's now an Olympic athlete.
It's Temple, Pennsylvania, by the way, because intern
send
legend.
You send Kathy. Kathy would love it. She didn't know where Fisher's was. Send her to Temple.
She'll know where it is.
Thanks, Adam. What's that case?
Intern Dan grew up there.
Oh, you grew up there? Yeah. Wow, nasty. Here on the opposite end of the spectrum, let me go to Melanie. Hey, Melanie, good morning.
Hey, guys. Happy hump day.
Same to you. What's happening, Melanie?
I actually work near the Melita Coffee Factory in Cherry Hill,
so I have
a pleasant smell when I go to work every morning. I bet that's nice.
Yeah, and awesome. You get sort of, I wonder, can you get a caffeine jolt from simply smelling coffee?
It makes me want it.
Yeah, it makes you want it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Thanks, Melanie. Yeah. All right, here you go. Let me go to Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. Hey, guys.
Hey, Dave. Hey, me.
Yeah.
What's up, Dave?
I grew up near a paper mill plant. I was about 15 miles away, but if the wind changed, it was the nastiest smell in the world.
Dave, so. I have smelled a paper mill plant. When my parents and I would travel to Kentucky, where my family was from, there was an area that we'd pass by that had paper mill plants, and I mean it's horrible.
Is it caustic chemical smell?
No, it is. It's a natural smell. It's from that pulp, right, Dave? Where they soak that wood and whatever
they soak it, they mix it, and you know they're creating paper and everything. It's nasty.
Was it
it's nasty.
In Conchie, when we worked at Y-100, wasn't the building next to it? Didn't that used to be a paper mill?
Maybe. Well, there was one in Manioc, and I remember going to it as a field trip in elementary school, and it was they made paper in Manioc. It was right along the river. So up and down the school.
Hey, Cage, you want to go to someplace that stinks?
Yeah. Did it smell bad, Nick?
Do you remember? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's nasty. But David, it says here you used to work at the Pillsbury plant.
Yeah, and when I lived in Minneapolis, I worked for Pillsbury, so walking in there was pleasant every day.
Yeah.
Cinnamon rolls, cookies, everything. And after they got done baking them, they'd send us an email and say, come to room so-and-so for all the fresh baked goods.
Oh, I want to go to room so-and-so.
Yeah, me too. That's nice.
Why don't we get invites to room so-and-so?
Yeah. Let me see here. I'm going to go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. What's happening, Jeff?
Not much. My dad has a shop in Conshohocken on Elm Street. Well, his shop's not on Elm Street. It's next to it, but the sewage plant, it stinks. Oh, my God. And it doesn't seem to bother him every time.
It's like along the trail, right?
What's that?
It's along that trail. Yep. Yeah, I've passed it before.
So along the river or where?
It runs right with, it's on Elm Street and Hector Street.
Okay.
By the bakery, if you know where that is.
All right. So, and it stinks?
Oh, my God. It's horrendous. And it just doesn't even seem to bother him. I walk in there and I'm like,
you get used to it after a while. Like when we went,
is that good though?
Yeah. I mean, is it bad for you? I don't know.
Well, but does it kill your your ability to smell something nice? You know what I mean?
Right.
But when we did the zombie thing at Creamy Acres when we were coming back because it's a dairy farm. We went past the cow pastures and you could smell the cows and the manure and the one lady on the trailer. She was like,
she loved it.
Yeah.
She actually liked that smell.
Jumped off, rubbed a big pile of crap in her face.
Mm. But she's around it all the time. But maybe,
I don't hate that smell, though.
Maybe associate it with money after a while if that's your business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't mind it?
No, I really don't.
That manure?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Cow, livestock smell?
Horse manure, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I can't. I don't like that. I mean, it doesn't make me gag or anything.
What's your favorite
like that.
Crap to smell, Preston?
You know what? It would probably be possum.
Possum crap.
Oh, it's just lovely. It's very especially this time.
Like nutmeg.
Does our own count?
Yeah.
The size of our own? Yeah, then fine. Yes. Yeah.
No.
As pleasant?
Yeah.
No, I'd rather smell horse poop than my own.
Really?
Yes.
My own poop doesn't
talk is
me.
Cheap, Nick. I think we need an on-air
right,
stunt.
Let's do a contest.
Kathy?
Pick my poop.
Do you like the smell of your own poop? Kathy?
That's, I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on. She wrote it. That's exactly what she wrote in her book. I Love My Poop by Kathy Romano.
Let me go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Hey, yeah. Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Oh, it's okay.
What's happening, Kevin?
I'm surprised Casey didn't mention the chocolate factory down in Eddystone.
Oh my God, that's Mount Lake. He goes,
where is that?
Down in Eddystone, off the Industrial Highway, run right down the Delaware River.
Oh, is there's a Hershey factory near here?
No,
chocolate factory.
What's the name of it?
Calido.
Oh, okay. All right, I gotcha. It says Hershey Factory on my screen here.
I didn't know there was a chocolate factory in Eddystone. I had no idea.
Oh yeah, there. You should drive down Industrial Highway. It's one of the best smells in the morning, 6-7 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. wakes you right up.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. You haven't been by it yet, have you?
No.
Mm-mm.
Me?
No. I was talking to him. He says it wakes you right up.
He's a little dry. let me go to Gail. Hi, Gail. Good morning.
You guys rock.
What's going on?
All right. Well, my neighborhood backs up to an industrial park with a cocoa processing plant, mm-hmm. and it constantly smells like brownies. And in the summertime, when it gets really hot, it just smells like you're in the oven with the brownies. It is awesome. We always say the Oompa Loompas are working.
I would go nuts, though. I mean, nice. Do you find that you end up ingesting more brownies?
I figured that I've definitely gotten fatter since I moved to that neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, as was me with the Entenmann's, I would end up, I mean, and I'm sure they're not mad at the fact that the smell gets out and entices people. I would end up buying on certain days, you get, that cinnamon smell or whatever, and you go over and buy something. You couldn't fight it.
The other day I was walking by down in our lobby and Manja, the restaurant is right there. And they had something they were serving up with buffalo sauce.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it just sucked me into the restaurant.
Yeah.
That permeates. You know what I mean? That'll get into like your nostrils.
Preston, come in.
Yeah. And no, you're right. Yeah. It tingles a little bit.
Right. It's like garlic. You know, it's one of those things where like you can smell it from far away and it's enticing.
Yeah. Like I had a story one time about wasabi and horseradish and how that affects your
nasal,
your
olfactory
your
senses?
Passages and you know, it can cause you to tear and things like that. It has a different reaction.
Which intern snorted wasabi? Was that Kat?
No, she didn't snort it. She just ate an entire.
Yeah, she had a big old glob of it.
Oh, did they snort it on Jackass?
Steve-O snorted it on Jackass. They mixed it up with soy sauce and
God, Jesus.
That was just hideous, man. I couldn't even imagine trying something like
that. The pain.
But sriracha, this hot sauce. You know what? I don't use that. Is it powerful? Is it a pretty damn hot sauce?
You'll get it in Asian restaurants. You know, where they
I've seen the bottle. I know what it looks like.
They want you. It seems to me like it's a slight step above Tabasco. It's a little spicier.
Yeah, and this factory apparently they're having a real issue with it. The people that live in the area. It's not only does it just smell bad, or you know, it's a pungent odor, but the burning eyes, irritated throats, headaches, all this stuff are coming from that.
I don't know if you move into an area though. What was there first, the factory or the homes?
I don't know. You know what I've realized? Because I'm actually flirting with a little bit of a migraine today. It's an issue that I have about once a month. I get them. And it has to do with my sinuses, like my eye and my nose and all that stuff. I found that the scent, and this would normally be a very pleasant scent to me, but when I have one of these, the scent of baby powder.
Really?
Is painful.
Really?
Yeah.
And yet, on any other occasion, you would find it a warm feeling, a pleasant smell.
Which sucks because lately I've been having like some sweaty nut issue.
Yeah.
And so I've been...
goo balls.
Yeah, goo balls, if you will. So I've been using some baby powder to dry the area out in the morning. So this morning I used some of that and it's still on my hands, and anytime my hand goes up near my nose, it actually makes my head hurt a little worse because I'm smelling it. And I've washed my hands like three times. Like the baby powder scent, you can't
get
out.
It permeates.
Yeah.
Does the barometric pressure affect your migraines?
Not that I know.
Okay, like with the cloudy conditions outside?
I don't know.
It would affect my wife. When it's very windy, when there's a shift in the barometric pressure, that's what does her in.
Yeah. Interesting.
Did you know we use baby powder at the beach to get sand off of us?
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. No!
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that.
That helps?
Yeah. Oh, yes. You do.
So not only helps, I mean, it is a flat, it's straight up remedy.
Like for the kids, if you want to give them something to eat on the beach, you quick put baby powder on their hands, you wipe it all off, and the sand comes right off.
All that, the tiniest little bit, you know, because even though you wash your hands and you wipe off, you can still, if you move your hand in the sunlight, you can still see kind of a little bit of glistening, little particles. It'll get that off?
Yeah.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Could you cover your body with it and walk nude through a sandstorm?
I do that, usually.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good tip.
I did not know that.
Just in time for summer. Good to know.
Kathy and Casey have a new tip show.
Yep.
Here's the way to get orange soda stains out of carpet.
Oh, I love orange soda.
Our tip show.
Orange cream soda.
How do you do that, Kathy?
I did find out, completely switching gears like we always do on the Preston and Steve show, but my daughter and her friend decided to paint their toenails the other day.
Oh, boy.
They're 6 years old. Yeah. All right, so they got it all over
all
the carpet.
Over. Oh.
Nail polish, man.
Oh, man. How do you
One of the most difficult things to get up. No, hairspray.
Yeah?
What?
Yeah. And what? Does it hurt and you can pick it off?
No, no, no. Oh. You spray
it. No, you spray it down her throat.
And then you spray it down her throat and then she closes up.
Oh, there it is!
You hold a match on the end of the spray.
No, but you spray it, Kath, and then you blot it up right when you're spraying it. And it removes it. As opposed to using nail polish remover, which can remove the color from
your
carpet.
Right.
So I looked that up on the internet, actually.
You know, I have a little dot of nail polish on a dresser. It has been there for years.
Yeah?
And I don't know, maybe I'll try hairspray.
No, I think it's too far
it's
gone.
It's too late.
Use a knife.
scrape
it
cut
off.
It right out.
That's about all you can do at this point.
If you get water stain on your carpet, try red wine. Rub it.
Oh, stop.
Rub it right in.
Are we going off on a tangent? Because I had a Christmas party 1 year, Steve, and one of my best friends does not drink a lot. But that night, for whatever reason, she got hammered on red wine, and she got so hammered that she then threw up red wine all over the place. Oh. So red wine itself is a terrible stain. Red wine as vomit?
Oh, boy.
Even worse?
Yeah, with stomach juices?
Worse. Yeah. Oh, God, it was just terrible.
Steve, you made a joke about a water stain.
Yeah.
The carpet that I have in my living room, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter if it's red wine or it's water. It leaves a mark. So if somebody spilled a glass of water on my carpet, you can still see the mark.
Wow.
Like, I guess it's the way the fibers go. And like, so I kind of like, you know, dabbed it up so it wasn't soaking wet. And whatever I did.
You see it every time you walk in,
every
right?
Every time I walk in. Yep.
I'm still here, Kathy. I'm right over here. I know you're trying to watch your dance show, but I'm not going anywhere.
It haunts her.
Yeah.
It does.
I'm sure it does.
And I can't turn the
water asleep, Kathy? Are you asleep? I'm still down here on the carpet.
Yeah.
And I can't turn the carpet around because there is a red wine spill on the other side that I'm hiding.
Man, oh, man.
Oh, that's nice.
People just stop spilling stuff.
And don't have anyone over.
Mm-hmm. It's my husband.
Yeah.
Do you want more uses for baby
it's
powder?
It's his water drinking buddies.
Let me go to John. Hey, John, how you doing? It's Stallone. What's happening, man?
Hey, Preston, I do the same thing you do to dry myself up, but in the summertime, tends to make some pancake batter.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah.
So,
John, you get like a pasty, it almost looks like whiteout around your balls.
You got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I actually switched over to that Gold Bond body spray, but you got to watch out. You tend to hibernate a little bit after you spray down there.
What do you mean?
You shrink up. It's cold.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right. You go into the cave. Yeah.
I won't do it right before
sex.
Sex, yeah.
Or your photo shoot. Your Playgirl photo shoot. No,
thank you, John. All right. Well, anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I'm sure there are people at the other end of this scenario as to having an unpleasant scent around your residence. If you have one, like the woman who called in with the cocoa factory that smells like
brownies
all the time. Or the Steve, with the Entenmann's.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would awesome. You would hit the jackpot if you moved in and found that
out. The Don Pepino spaghetti sauce factory is in Jersey. That
I love the smell
good.
Of that
would smell nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, too.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.